Hi, everybody, and welcome to our ERC end of June 2018 call. And I'm excited to be here with you to support you and however you need supporting. This is our second to the last month. I can't believe a year has gone by already since we started together. End of July would mark the end of our year together. And it's just gone by really fast. I've seen so many of you just, you know, change a lot. Some of you haven't shown up for a lot of calls, but I appreciate seeing you. Maya, you're usually on the phone, so it's nice to see you. Yeah. And there's a few people that, oh, just more, so a whole bunch more just showed up on the call there. There's Debbie. Hi. So before we jump right in, I want to find out what you all are up to and what you all need support with. I sent out an email this morning. I hope everybody got it, but at this time, we start to invite and start a new round of ERC, but we always invite the folks that have been with us before to come back and join again at a very significantly reduced investment over the first year and over what it's going to be later on. So I would highly encourage you to read that document and see if you're feeling like you want to, you know, keep going with this and continue to get the support. There's a lot of good information there, and we have made it so that if you register before we officially open it up to the public, which is on our two-day live stream that replaces SIV in July 21st, 22nd, then we've even reduced the investments even more. So have a look at that and see, and I'm giving the first five people who show up a free private call. Somebody already snatched one of them up this afternoon. Kelly, I don't see Kelly on tonight, but Kelly jumped in and was the first one to re-up. So I'm excited about that. And I'm excited to see you all here and to support you. Now, I know Cece had some labs, and I'm going to pull those up in a second, and we're going to look through those and see what's going on with that. And then somebody else had, Laura had some labs as well, and Debbie does too. Okay. So we'll get to your stuff, and anybody else has stuff, just let's, you know, we're going to go through as quickly as possible, but I want to be as thorough as possible in giving you the support that you need. So let me go here and open up CC's. I have so many windows open. I have to find the right one. And your labs are all in the master tracker, I understand, right?
Yes, it should be.
Good. Yeah. All right. So master health tracker. And I see you also have a practitioner and just a practitioner report. I don't see and that was 7. No, that's 17. That's an old one. Okay, so I just see this. Okay, good. So it's here, and I'm going to go to the right page. And then what I'm going to have everybody do, if you have labs, if you have particular problems that or questions you have about the labs, then let's go ahead and start there, because sometimes it looks like it was a small lab. Okay, so I want to make sure I answer your particular labs, because I could just go off into techie la-la land and start reading everything, and you had one particular question, yeah. Right?
I'm concerned about the MTHFR test.
So you had a blood test for MTHFR, or did you do the 23andMe?
Yeah, the blood test with my doctor.
Your doctor did a blood test. And is that in here, or do you have?
Should be in there.
Okay, so I'm going to share my screen. Is that okay if I share my
screen? Yes, that's fine.
Screen? Okay, all right. So share screen. And here we go. All right. So I'm going to widen this window so I could see more of it. All right. It's not letting me. There we go. Are you guys seeing it yet?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It just took a little while for me to see it. Okay. So we're looking at the date 5/1/18, correct? And I'm looking down.
Yeah. Around that. Yeah.
I see an elevated homocysteine.
Yes.
And I see vitamin D. It's coming up. It's still got a little ways to go. So whatever you're doing, keep doing, and maybe up your dose just a little bit.
Yeah, you told me that the last time. You helped me with my labs the last time, but you didn't have time to do the MTHFR.
Right. I don't because we don't have a spot on here for MTHFR, so that's where.
So
I'm wondering.
All right. Where it must be in my folder then.
Okay, it looks like you had DHEA done, and that's on the low side.
Yeah.
All right, so.
I can tell you what it says.
So, yeah, maybe you can share your screen if you have it, or if you have it on a piece of paper then. Because MTHFR usually comes as a set of genetic reports. Yeah, so do you want to share your screen, or do you want...
Well, I don't know how to...
Tell me what you got from your doctor. Let me just take some notes here, and I'm going to open up your folder for your... Let me get rid of that. Share screen. I'm looking in your folder. I don't see any report in your folder at all that says MTHFR. Can I reorganize it? No, it's already organized by last modified. So no, I don't see anything in there that says MTHFR or methylation or genetics. So I'm going to open up your private coaching call notes, and I'm just going to take some notes in there. And you're going to tell me what you've got from the doctor, and I can help you to try to understand what it means. And then you can tell me what the doctor had said about it.
So. Okay, so the test said a part of it was abnormal, and it said positive for two copies of the C677T variant.
Okay.
Whatever that means, I'm hoping you know what that means.
Oh, I know what it means. So you're homozygous. Is that the only one they tested, or is there something else there?
No, they tested some other things, but those were normal.
Okay, so tell me what they tested that were normal. So just name some of them.
So the one I told you about with the two variants, that's QMTHFRDNA.
Okay, yeah, the C677T, that you said has two positive variants. That's fine. I understand that.
But okay. Was there anything else on there? QMTHFRI.
Yeah.
And the other one is QMTHFRR.
Okay, and those were all okay? They said
yeah, those were normal.
Okay. Anything else that they tested?
No.
Okay. All right. So let me explain to you.
Oh, just one more thing. Because the homocysteine was high.
Yeah.
That's why she wanted to test this.
Yes. And they're totally related. And we're going to talk about how you're going to handle that. What did the doctor say?
She wanted to put me on a supplement for... What did she want? Oh, dear. I do have
B12 and folate, methylfolate. Probably what she wanted to put you on. All right. Let me stop the share so that I can talk to you and see you directly. I'm going to keep your notes open so I can take some notes. Okay. So what that means is, and we're going to go over this on the people who got their 23andMe test, have this gene and a whole bunch more. So this is... It's like a little small picture of a window into your genetics. And this particular gene is important for the vitamin, B vitamin, folate. And it has to do with the methylation of folate. And so typically when a doctor just runs this in a vacuum, they haven't been kind of educated about the whole genetics picture. They're just taking that one piece. And yes, you can, an approach would be to take some methylated folate, okay, L-methylfolate. You've got to be really careful, though, because they didn't test other genes. And so there's some other genes. That's why I asked you what other ones. There's one called COMT, which if that's high, if you've got two copies of that one, then it would make it very important that you're super careful about going very, very slowly with any supplementation in this area. And you tend to be super sensitive anyway. You know, whether it's something like this. Because what could happen is if you start to take large doses, which the typical dose that a medical doctor would recommend is quite high. You know, it could be 1,000, 2,000, 5,000. I've seen some even recommend 15,000. Wow. Okay? Because they're not looking at the whole picture. I want to look at you as the whole CC.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So what I would recommend is that you can get some from, I think we talked about this last time, but we might have talked about it just with the B12, was with from Seeking Health. It's called liposomal methyl folate, microsomal MTHF, which stands for methyl tetrahydrofolate. Okay, so that I'm going to write it in your.
Yeah, I think you have told me that before because of something else. I don't remember what it was.
Well, it was probably related to the B12.
Yeah, it was. That's
it was. And I wanted you to get the Seeking Health liposomal B12, and I had you start with one drop, then go to two drops.
So this is B12 then?
The one you got before was B12. This is folate.
Oh, this is something else. Do you want me to continue with the B12?
Yes. Yes, although the RR, but again, it's a vacuum, so I would just keep it light and don't increase them both at the same time. So have you been doing the B12?
I think I stopped for some reason. I might have ran out. I don't remember what happened.
Okay, so it's important. Let's just get the liposomal folate. Okay, here's the thing with homocysteine. Homocysteine gets elevated when you have a deficiency of folate, B12, or vitamin C. That's most likely what it is, okay? But why do you have the deficiencies, right? We always want to ask why. Well, if you have this particular genetic, you have two copies of a gene that makes it very difficult for you to methylate your folate.
Uh-huh.
So one thing super important is that don't take anything that says it has folic acid in it, the synthetic form of folate. That could be very detrimental for you with the two copies here. So you want to avoid that.
Okay.
Okay, so check all your vitamins and make sure none of them has synthetic folic acid.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then the other thing you want to do is get the liposomal MTHF or methylated folate. And the only place I know that has it is Seeking Health. It's possible somebody else has it, but that's where I usually recommend to people because I know they have it. And I know that if you take just one drop, you're just getting a very small dose. But what you're looking for as you take it, you take one drop, you pay attention. Do you feel a little more anxious? Do you have any difficulty sleeping? Do you feel like irritable and cranky and like you want to bite somebody's head off? Right? If you don't on the one drop, stick with that for a couple of days. Some people I have up it every day, but you're very sensitive to supplementation. And then you go to two. And you pay attention again, and then you go to three. It might take you a whole month to get up to a more large dose, but you're going to back off if you feel like that. And if one day you go, huh, I felt a little cranky and grouchy, and I snapped at, you know, my friend, and well, maybe it's that, maybe it's something else, right? So you just stay on that same dose for a few more days, and if you continue to feel that grouchy, cranky, anxious, more hypervigilant, then you back off. You go back to the dose before that and you stay there for quite a while.
Yeah, it usually shows up in my sleep.
Yeah, so there you go. So if you have difficulty sleeping, you know you're taking too much.
Yeah.
Okay, right. And then you back off. You don't want to stop it. Here's the mistake a lot of people make. They get that and then they just stop it. No, you want to back it off to the dose right before that where you weren't getting the problem. Does that make sense?
So is there a reason why I can't absorb it?
You have a genetic, it's not that you're not absorbing it, you're not converting.
I'm not converting it. Now, is it
the active
genetic problem? I mean, did I always have this genetic problem?
You were born with this.
Oh, I was born with this.
Yeah, you got one from your mom and one from your dad. That's why you have two. You've always had this, right? You've always had it.
Oh.
Okay. And it's not that it's completely impaired, but it's about 80% with two copies.
Wow.
That enzyme, that's a real important enzyme for detoxification, for brain function, for energy, for creating red blood cells, for DNA repair. You're functioning at 80%. So we want to help that along since you can't methylate 100% yourself. We're giving you the methylated form. And I would say the B12 is important too. So, but I don't want you messing with increasing both at the same time.
Okay.
Okay. Cause I don't want you getting too many methyl groups. The ideal would be that you do, I would say, I'd love to see you get up to at least 500 micrograms of the folate. And I don't know how many drops that is. I'd have to look at the bottle, but it might be like 3 to 5 drops. All right. So get up to at least that. And then if you're feeling good at that, just stop there for a little while. Just let's leave well enough alone. Then let's move over to the B12.
Okay.
Let's just bring that up to about 5 drops and see how you feel. And if you can stabilize on those 5 drops of both of them and your sleep is okay and you're not anxious and you're feeling good, do it for a week or two. And then you can increase them a little bit more. And then I would say at about 6 weeks, maybe probably 2 months since you're going really slowly, maybe even 3, you go and you test your homocysteine again. You've got a marker that's going to help us to know if you're on the right track here, if you have the right dose. If that homocysteine drops down to 5, great. You don't need to add any more. Just stay at that dose. But that's going to be a lifelong thing. It's not like some things, like if you're trying to get rid of gut bugs and you take a certain nutrient for a while, you do it and then you're fine. Or if you're, you know, been deficient in certain foods and you start to take a nutrient and you get up to speed, you stop. Because of the genetics here, you don't want to stop because that high homocysteine puts you at a higher risk of stroke and heart disease.
Yeah, and I have that in my family.
There you go. And maybe this is why you have that in your family.
Right?
So you want to combat your genetics. You want to outsmart your genetics.
Yeah.
Right? And if, you know, you have any other relatives in your family that haven't been tested, you might just suggest that they look into taking a supplement to protect themselves. You know your mom has it. You know your dad has it. Your mom has at least one copy. Your dad has at least one copy. Both of them might have 2 for all you know. The only way you'd know is to check siblings and, you know, they'd have to get tested, which, you know what I'm saying?
So I should tell my kids to get tested for this variant.
You definitely should have your kids. Your kids will have at least one copy.
I see.
They must, because they'll get one from you. It depends on their dad.
I see.
Okay. Now, if their doctors are willing to do it in the blood, great. But for $99, $199, you get the whole shebang done at 23andMe.
And 23andMe. Oh, okay.
23andMe does this plus a whole bunch more.
Oh, okay.
And that's the call we're going to have in July, where we're going to get together and I'm going to help everybody to understand what those tests mean for them.
Okay. So I should take that test.
It's definitely worth taking that test.
Yeah. Because
like I'm saying, you may not need to be careful with those. You may not need to, but I don't know that. And I'm not taking that risk. I'm not going to tell you to go take, like, just take a pill of whatever, because you can't control it. And that might really upset the apple cart with you, right? Mm-hmm. Make you not sleep, make you more anxious, you just life miserable. So I'd rather go.
Is that a saliva test? The 23andMe, is that a saliva test?
It's a saliva test. Yep.
Is that as accurate as a blood test?
Well, yeah, it's testing the DNA in your saliva. Your DNA is the same in every cell in your body.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was very helpful. I'll try to be on that call in July.
Yeah, there's 2 of them. There's one on a Thursday and one on a Saturday. So I split it. Used to be I'd do one long day. Maya knows because she was on one, Laura knows because she's been on them. And sometimes we'd go 7 or 8 or 9 hours on just keep reading everybody's and reading everybody. So we decided that was really tiring for everybody. So we split it and we do half and half. So, you know, you don't have to do both, or you can do both, but you don't have to be spending 8 hours with me on your weekend.
Okay. So both those times are about the same thing. It's just,
well, it's the same thing. I'll give an intro, but there's also an intro on the site. So I gave you in the newsletter that'll go out again on Sunday Friday, we change it to Friday. It tells you where to go on the site to read a little. There's a couple of videos. Just, you don't have to do all of them. There's like 20 hours worth of videos on that site because we've collected, but you can go there and you can actually just watch a couple of the intro videos so you understand it.
Okay, great.
And then when you come to the call, I'll do a brief overview. I'll go through, I sometimes go through my own test initially just to explain what the different things mean. And then I'll go through with each person. And a lot of times what happens is by people that go at the end will get on and they'll go, okay, I've got this one. I got this one. They've already looked at it. They've circled it as we went through. And then we just, you know.
That's great.
To the test there. There's a lot more in there because it also tells you your detox, your capacity for detoxification.
Oh, no kidding.
Right? It talks about liver and all that. So it's a very good test. Now, it's possible, it's likely that yours won't be back in time unless you do it immediately. Now, you might be able to do it back in time because they do take a few weeks to get back. They're getting faster, but sometimes if there's a rush, it takes longer. But don't worry about it because you can always go back and you can always watch the interpretations. And if you continue with us, we can always do it on another call.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thanks very, very much.
Sure. Thank you. I'm going to just take 1 second to make sure I wrote down everything I said. Start one drop. Retest. Okay, retest homocysteine in, I would say, 2 months. So this will be on your file, your folder on the site, and it's just the one that says CCFINS, DRL, ERC private coaching. Okay, and I just wrote it at the very bottom. It says 6/26/18. Okay.
Yes, great.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. Let me just undo this. Okay. All right. So, and Laura, you had some tests as well? You and who else? Debbie did. Okay. So let me.
And Sandy put in the chat she wanted to go over some labs. And
if they're in your folder, I will be able to find them.
Yep. And Sandy is also on the East Coast, I believe.
Okay. And on the West Coast. Debbie's on the West Coast, right? Do you guys mind if Sandy goes first? Laura, are you okay with Sandy's going? Because she's on the, okay, cool. I'll go ahead and I'll do Sandy's, and then we'll come back and do you guys, because you're both on the Pacific, right? So we have Sandy. Sandy, here we go. All right, so are they in your master tracker? Sandy, unmute yourself and let me know, are they in your master tracker? I unmuted you. Whoops.
Oop.
There you go.
Okay, it should be under, I think I put it on June 18th.
Okay. So it's blood work or is it in the master tracker?
It's in the master tracker and it's.
And it's in the blood work. Good. I always like that because sometimes if you make like a typo and you don't realize it, you may not realize it because you don't know what the numbers are supposed to be, but I get it right away and I want to go back to the original. So that always helps. So thank you. All right. So 6/21. Is it okay for me to share my screen?
Sure.
Okay. And do you have specific questions about this or?
I was just trying to figure out if it said anything about why the bleeding and all.
Okay. And have you had that checked out?
I'm sorry?
You haven't been to a doctor to check it out, right?
I have.
Oh, yeah.
I finally broke down and went.
You thought what?
I finally broke down and went.
Okay, and what'd they say?
He said he thought it was hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
And then I've been to an acupuncturist, and she said she thinks it's a spleen is not... I don't remember what word she used, but she said it's very thin blood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thin and bright red.
That can help. That can, and if it's bright red, it usually is right there, and it could be a hemorrhoid or a fissure. Did the doctor examine you and see a hemorrhoid? Feel a hemorrhoid?
He told me I had to have a colonoscopy, that he could not tell me exactly what it was unless I did that. He was very pushy over that.
He's very... wrong.
Right.
I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's trying to get you to have a colonoscopy to do CYA on him in case it's cancer and there's something else going on. He doesn't want to be held liable that he told you it was a hemorrhoid. But honey, I mean, hemorrhoid doesn't take a rocket scientist to feel or see, right? Any doctor should be able to feel it. You could actually stick your finger.
That's what I thought too.
You feel it yourself, right?
Yeah.
And it could be a fissure, which is like more of a slice. And that happens sometimes if you have an exceptionally big bowel movement and it tears and it just, it's a hard area to heal because it's always got juicy, flowy, toxic stuff coming through it. So it doesn't heal. So those are common as well. But hemorrhoids usually are what causes that bright red kind of bleeding.
There's no itching, there's no burning, there's no nothing that would go along with a hemorrhoid.
Mm.
But it is first thing every morning. But the part that started lately is it's like it's a steady stream.
Mm. So a couple of things that you can do, right? And
okay.
I understand your concern of not wanting to do a colonoscopy. And I'm not telling you not to. I'm telling you have to listen to your doctor. But if you don't want to listen to your doctor, here's a couple of other alternatives. So that's basically my CYA. Is that you can actually get out a mirror and you can hold the mirror to your backside and you can, you know, kind of look to see. A large mirror would be helpful to see if you see anything. You can ask a family member, an intimate family member like your husband, to help you. To examine. I mean, sometimes husbands tend to be a little squeamish about those kind of things, but to see if there's a little slice or a sliver or a lump. Now, hemorrhoids don't have to be itchy and burning and painful. In general, you are a healthier than normal person. You eat well, you take care of yourself. And so you may not have all the symptoms. We are not textbooks. We are real people. So we may have some of the symptoms of something, but not all of the symptoms of that.
Right.
Okay, so that's one thing to say. I mean, looking at your numbers here, your glucose is phenomenal. Your uric acid is a little bit elevated. You were having, were you having that wrist or somewhere you were having some?
Yeah, and all that's gone.
All that's gone, but the uric acid is a little elevated, which could account for joint type pain, but that's good that that's all gone. Blood urea nitrogen is a little on the low side, as is the creatinine, and that often means that there's some low stomach acid. And low stomach acid could mean low mineral status, and minerals are important for the integrity of vessels, as is collagen supporting things. So amino acids, so low protein could contribute to it not being able to heal if it actually is maybe a fissure as opposed to a hemorrhoid, right? And the fissure, you know, it would slice open and it would make sense if you're having a bowel movement in the morning that large mass coming through, a bulky bowel movement is going to just pop it open again. And then it'll heal over the day and then it'll pop open again. And it doesn't ever get a chance to rest because it's an anus. So it doesn't get a chance to rest, right? So those are two things here. I'm seeing your sodium slightly high, potassium slightly low. That's an adrenal, usually, like a little bit of adrenal stress. Right. I would say, you know, you have a lot of stuff going on there with all your building and all your other stuff. Everything else looks good here. Let's see, protein low again. So I would say the protein is a big issue. What I would do if I were you is I would be looking to see how is my diet? You have a healthy diet by all, you know, intents and purposes, but is it adequately nourishing you? Right? Are you getting all the nutrients you need from your food? And then are you absorbing it? So Chronometer is a nice little online app where you can put your food in for 3 days and it gives you the nutrients. And I really love looking at it. I looked at it with Paula this morning and I didn't realize it did this. But when you look at the little, you know, you go in there and you've got, 83% of your calcium and 47% of potassium. And then when you hover over it, it actually shows you all the foods that you ate on that day that contain that nutrient and how much. So you can go, oh, well, I just need this much more. So I'm going to eat, you know, another cup of this and another half cup of this. And you know what I mean? So it really helps you to design your diet so that at least your diet is adequate by standards, but you can also increase nutrients. And I'll talk to you about specific nutrients that can support, in particular, there's one herb called colensonia. Okay. And I'm not saying don't get the colonoscopy. I'm not saying that it's, you know, you still have to make sure it's not something serious, but you get to choose, right? You get to choose. You get to talk to your doctor. And if you're uncomfortable with the colonoscopy, I get it. And with the bright red, the things that come to my mind are there's something right there in that anal area, hemorrhoid or fissure. It could be ulcerative colitis, but you don't have any other symptoms of it, and you're only having it once a day, whereas ulcerative colitis is usually accompanied by, you know, urgency and running to the bathroom and 10 bloody bowel movements a day and all that. So the likelihood of it being one of those things is slim. But in the meantime, colonsonia root, and colonsonia root can be done as a tincture. It can be done as capsules, but it can also be done as a suppository. And you can actually, or a cream that you actually, you know, rub over that anal opening. If that's what it is, it will go away. If it's something more serious and further up, that ain't going to do anything to it. You see what I mean? So it's something you can try to strengthen. It basically strengthens the blood vessels in that area. Okay? Vitamin C and good bioflavonoids. Those are the thing.
The only thing with the vitamin C is if I take too much, then it goes back to the diarrhea again.
And you go to diarrhea. So you got to be careful of that. Right. Yeah. Do you take any vitamin C?
I do. I take, I'm up to about 2 tablespoons.
Oh my God. You're taking plenty. Yeah. Okay. So don't worry about that. There is a bioflavonoid called rutin, R-U-T-I-N.
I take that.
You take that.
Try to stop it.
Try to stop it. Okay. Try the colonsonia. Okay. And let's see if there's anything else in here. And I would say, look at the protein. Like, do you have low stomach acid or are you just not eating enough protein?
Right. I'm not eating enough.
It could be that you're not eating enough, right? So you can look at the chronometer and just put your stuff in and go, yeah, I'm not eating enough, right? And things that are supportive, the things they talk about for collagen support, those nutrients are important for any kind of vasculature building, right? So things like, there's a really cool recipe we put on Facebook once, but you can just Google it and find, called vegan bone broth. And it's basically a broth that you make with mushrooms and seaweed and lots of veggies and greens that have a lot of those nutrients, the arginine and the proline and the hydroxyproline that are really important for building the integrity of that.
Okay.
Okay. So that's something I would recommend.
And how do you spell the thing that you just said to take?
Let me see. I don't have a private one for you because you're in silver, but let me see if I can create one in your folder. What was it you wanted me to spell?
You said you could do it as a tincture.
Oh, colonsonia root. C-O-L-L-I-N-S-O-N-I-A. Let me create a new Google Doc, create, and I'm just going to jot a few of these things down. And this is 10, what is it, 6, 26, 18.
If the tincture has alcohol in it, that might be kind of fun.
Oh, you wouldn't want to put that on? No. Yeah, you're right. No, the ones that would be for topical use are usually a cream, like in some sort of calendula cream or something along those lines. And the suppositories, they do have suppositories that you just put it up inside so it holds it there for a while. So that's a good thing to do. So colonsonia, C-O-L-L-I-N-S-O-N-I-A.
Might want to consider substituting some liposomal C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if your bowel movements are good right now and you mm-hmm. wanted to add more vitamin C, then you could add it in the form of liposomal vitamin C. And that doesn't usually trigger the increased bowel movement.
Okay. I had thought about doing another water fast just to see, because when I did that one before,
yeah,
it helped and it worked. And
magnesium could also.
Well, that can increase bowel movements, right?
Yeah.
But right now she's not having the problem with either constipation or diarrhea is my understanding, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So right now they're good. So we don't want to mess with any of those. But I would say, you know, if you're in the position to be able to do a water fast, I would do that, but then I would follow it by some of these other things to support it. Right. So with the colansonia, because how long did it last after you did a water fast?
Well, after I did the water fast, I did a juice fast. So it wasn't until I started eating again. So probably I did the water fast for 5 days and then the juice fast for 5 days. And then I started eating again.
Was it started as soon as you started eating, or as soon as you started to have bowel movements after that?
Bowel movements.
So that to me says it's most likely a fissure or a hemorrhoid, right? It was fine. If it was some sort of tumor or ulcerative colitis, it'd probably just keep, you know, bleeding at least into the beginning part of the fast. I'm just thinking out loud. Okay.
Right.
Just to make sense of it. I would say if you're in a position to be able to do that, I would do the water fast, and then during the juice fast, I would be supplementing with this extra stuff and maybe do it a juice broth fast and make a broth, you know, one of these collagen support broths for yourself, right? So combination. Colansonia, I think, can also be taken as a powder. So you can take it internally as well as topically and help to support that. And then things that support blood vessels, bilberries, blueberries, things like that have some good things in there. Root and you're already taken. You might increase it a little bit.
So how much salt do you put in the water when you do a water fast?
I don't put any.
And you don't have a problem with leg cramps?
No, but if I usually have a problem with leg cramps if I have a magnesium deficiency. But if you feel like you need the water, you need the salt in your water during a fast to keep the leg cramps away, then you could do that. But I would start doing that now. I mean, I would just in general do it. Your sodium was high, so it means you're retaining it. So electrolyte imbalances are not uncommon. Usually electrolyte imbalances in a fast don't come till later days. Like the first 5 days generally don't, do that. But, you know, you can certainly do that if your adrenals are stressed, a little bit of salt.
They started about the third day.
Yeah. And you put, how much salt did you use?
I didn't know about it until afterwards. I wasn't sure what to do. I did rub magnesium on my legs.
Magnesium oil. And then I would say start with that before you go in and see if that makes a difference. Because usually it's a magnesium imbalance. So I would say magnesium, just supplement orally, but do liquid, not magnesium citrate, because that could aggravate your bowels. But get some liquid magnesium before.
The ease, have you ever, I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, no, I don't know that one. Okay, that's the spray or that's a liquid? That's a spray that goes on topically. Yeah. So you can get a liquid that's oral that you can take as well.
Okay.
Good State has it, Trace Minerals Research. I get it from, I have mine here. This is mine, Ionic Magnesium, and it's from Ultimate Superfoods. And it's just a liquid, you know, it doesn't taste good. You have to dilute it, but I take 2 to 3 droppers of this. And if I go more than 2 weeks without it, I start to get my leg cramps back.
Okay.
So I'm clearly not absorbing magnesium, but you know, especially if I'm fasting. So that I would say you could circumvent it that way. And if you do start to get cramps and the magnesium isn't helping, I would say if you're going to do salt, just try like 1/4 teaspoon.
Or if you do celery juice, or you can't do that with a water fast though.
Right. If you're doing water fast, you wouldn't, but you could do that up to, you can just really dose up on your celery juice beforehand. You can do your water fast. And if you don't want to break the water fast, then immediately on stopping and starting the juicing, then do celery juice. And you can do like, I don't know, a whole head of celery a day can actually help with stomach acid production.
Okay.
So that could be a good therapeutic for you.
Help improvement.
Say it again.
Help enhance.
Yeah.
So Soul Reduce.
Health Enhance?
Yeah, does Soul Reduce help enhance digestion?
It helps enhance digestion. It helps enhance stomach acid production. The problem is most people don't like it straight. I mean, it's actually best straight first thing in the morning. It's not as palatable as you might want it to be, but you can, you know, and the juice of a whole stalk of celery, a whole batch of celery makes about, I think it makes 16 ounces. So it's not all that much. Maybe Lynn knows better how much it makes. I haven't done it in a while. I was doing it for a while.
So how long can you go on a water fast without really needing somebody there?
It depends on the person. I've had people not do well on 5 days. You've clearly done that. Most people do fine on 5 days. I would say anything more than that, I'd want to have you be monitored just to make sure. I guided a guy through, and he started to have electrolyte imbalances at about 14 days. And we went and did his stuff. We put him on, you know, some magnesium and some other stuff based on he started to get a little weird. We put him on the electrolytes. He was fine, and he went all the way to 28 days. But that's not something I recommend anybody do without guidance and support. Yeah. But 5 days is pretty straightforward. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Let me just look back through and see if there's anything else I missed in here. This is Sandy. Okay. So we were at that. Your liver enzymes look good. Your cholesterol's still high.
But it's down from what it used to be.
Oh, look at that, 262. Yeah, so it's definitely there. You're making it, probably because you're not eating it, right? And sugars are balanced. Did you do a hemoglobin A1C?
I don't think so.
Your triglycerides are... Yeah.
It's still high, but they've come down.
It's still high, but look at 490. Holy cow. Yeah. Let's look at, see if you did a hemoglobin A1C, because that's what I would want to look at. And I'm talking to people about their getting this continuous glucose meter, if you can get your doctor to recommend it, because it gives you some really cool clues. But let me see what your hemoglobin A1C is. Your thyroid, your blood cells, you might be a little dehydrated. You're consistently a little slightly high on that, right, red blood cells. But everything else looks, all your anemia things look good. Did they do iron? I don't see iron here.
I did a separate iron one, yeah.
Let's see if we can find it. Iron. Yeah, your iron's fine. The only thing here I'm seeing in your, and your MCV is fine. Your RDW is a little bit off. It's just slightly. I'm not worried about that. Okay. And then let me see if you did a hemoglobin A1C or homocysteine.
They did one for one of the female test,
yeah,
which I've never done it before.
Out of the blue, just that doesn't make any sense without anything else. They're probably looking to see if there was something related with the bleeding to hormonal stuff. You know, possibly an endometriosis type of thing or fibroid. You know, sometimes they don't believe you about when you know where the blood's coming from, but they need to rule other things out. Like maybe she's bleeding vaginally and she doesn't realize it. You know, yeah, I don't know what the thoughts with that would be, but you know, it's low, like I would expect it to be in a postmenopausal woman. So those numbers don't mean a whole lot, but yeah. Yeah, I would recommend, I'm just going to write it in here, is to do a follow-up, because I'm concerned about the cholesterol being high and the triglycerides, which says to me that the sugars may be high. I mean, your fasting glucose was fine, but what's happening in between? I don't know if you've been testing with your meter on your glucose.
I have, and it... Every once in a while, it'll go above 100, but usually it's under 100.
Okay, it's under 100. Okay. And you're testing like with relationship to meals, like the way we recommend? Okay. I would still follow up with the hemoglobin A1C, and this is why. I'm finding with this continuous meter that there are times when my sugar goes wonky that I wouldn't have realized was going wonky. So, for example, exercise, right? If you over-exercise for the state of your adrenals, you throw yourself into cortisol, which can raise your blood sugar. So I said, okay, well, I'm in this state where I'm mostly running on ketones right now. So if I exercise and my blood sugar goes up, I don't have a lot of glycogen stored. At least I didn't before when I did a 5-day fast, a 3-day eat, 5-day fast. And if I exercise and my blood sugar goes up, where's the sugar coming from?
Right.
Most likely muscle, right? It's muscle breakdown. So I started doing this exercise and I noticed that after this one heavy duty routine, my sugar shot up 20 points.
Wow.
Okay. So I said, okay, that's too much because I should be burning whatever sugar's in my blood, or I should be burning whatever ketones are in my blood, but I shouldn't really be mobilizing muscle stores or even glycogen stores. Those are reserves. So I realized that, okay, if I slow it down, and that helped me to see that if I did that same number of weights, the same number of reps, but I slowed it down and I took breaths in between, instead of going, it didn't go. It went back down and it stabilized. So the continuous meter helped me to figure that out. I couldn't do that because I'm not going to stop in the middle of working with a trainer to say, oh, just a minute. Oh, just a minute. Let me do that again. Whereas this thing, I just go, I turn it on and I go like that. It tells me what my sugar is.
And what kind of meter is that?
It's called a Freestyle Libre. You have to get a doctor to recommend it, to prescribe it. That's the only thing. Now, I just found out in Canada, I was talking to somebody in Canada, I was telling her about it, and she goes, oh, I want one of those. And I looked it up. In Canada, you don't have to. So, Laura, you can get one. And I don't know. I doubt that they will ship to the U.S. from the Canadian site. So there's an issue of us going across the border. But who knows? The Canadians will throw us in jail for smuggling out glucose meters. So you got to be careful. Anyway, it's crazy that you can go and buy a handgun. You can go and you can buy tobacco. You can buy, you know, alcohol and drink, but you can't buy one of these little meters without a doctor's prescription. Like, excuse me, don't understand why Europe, Canada, they can get them without prescription, but it's certainly worthwhile. And if ever you know, with the cholesterol, if you explain to the doc and say, look, I've got elevated cholesterol. I am eating pristinely. I'm not eating anything with cholesterol in it. My triglycerides are high. I have a feeling that my blood sugar is popping all over the place and I'd like to get it tested. Could you just order me one of these?
I have to find a doctor first.
Well, how'd you get the test done?
The blood test?
Yeah.
I went through the direct labs.
Oh, but I thought you said you went to the doctor to get checked out.
I did, but he was a specialist, but he told me not to come back if I wasn't going to do the colonoscopy. And I said, okay, I'm sorry.
All right. Got it.
Unless the acupuncturist could do something, but I don't know.
The acupuncturist might be, I can do it. I can prescribe them as a chiropractor. So I don't know what their laws are, but I think if you have an NPI number, which is a registered number that you use for submitting to insurance companies, I think any doctor that can submit or any practitioner that can submit to insurance can probably order it. So ask the acupuncturist and she won't know if she can. So here's what you do. You say, are you willing to check this out? And you go to order it. You put her name down and her address and her fax number. They'll fax this report to her office. And she just says, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Or they won't. They'll say, well, she's not a practitioner that can do it. And they'll send you, they'll give you your money back.
Okay. So the upper cervical chiropractor might be able to do it.
Yeah, he or she can do it. Yep, they can do it.
Okay.
Totally. Cool. And it's called the Freestyle. And I'm finding also that I can, wake up in the morning, go to bed at night with the blood sugar and wake up in the morning with the blood sugar, and they're pretty much the same. But if I look, oftentimes I see that it goes down lower during the night and comes back up. So if somebody's having difficulty sleeping, you can kind of look at the pattern and see, is there a pattern related to when you're waking up in the middle of the night kind of thing. So
okay. Sometimes it goes up when I have lemon water in the morning, which I think is crazy, but
yeah,
it does sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting. But it seems like because your triglycerides are high that there's a sugar issue somewhere.
Well, that's the lowest they have ever been.
Well, then that's good. So it's maybe on the way down, right? But it's still something. And if you can pinpoint it, you might be able to do something about it.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Okay. I'll send you, let me get a link to this. It's in your folder.
Signed up already for next year. So hopefully I'll get more calls next year.
I hope you are. Yeah, definitely go do it. Cause yeah. Okay. So this is Sandy. And call notes. Yeah. If you just go into your folder where your thing is, you'll find this.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So we had Lore here, and I'll do Lore.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, Dr. Samarie.
Hi, it's been a while. You sounds like you had some very excellent travels.
Oh, it was amazing. It was amazing. I went to Sedona, and I met people that were sensitive to or were able to get information in so many different ways. It was so enlightening. It's no more a book. It's like meeting the person directly. Yeah. So, yeah. And it's an amazing place.
It is a gorgeous place. I love it there. Great. So I'm glad you're back and you got to go to that Chicola tree. I love their nori nachos and I order a lot of their foods. And when I travel, I buy them, they're so yummy.
I was so excited to have that flavor in my mouth. It's so delightful.
Nice. Yeah. So what do we want to look at today, Laura?
So I took a lot of blood tests while I was there. I don't know if it was a good idea because my lips were dry, my skin was dry. So there was that effect. It may have influenced. It's very dry in Sedona. And so I noticed that my labs are a bit upside down. I mean, it's not only from Sedona. It's not from Sedona, but like the antibodies, and they went quite high. So I'd like to regroup and see, you know, like get me back on track. I stopped taking a lot of the nutrients for the last 6 months, a lot of the vitamins, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, the B12 and the folate and... many other things.
Because of the traveling and not the convenience? Or...
Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, reason you stopped, was it more related to what was the move and the stress and not wanting to deal with it? Or what was your rationale?
No, so Sequoia had my coach suggested that I stopped taking many vitamins because somehow I wasn't absorbing nutrients and somehow so she thought it'd be a nice idea to take a break from them to see how my body would react.
Okay.
Then so start them again maybe.
All right.
I'm sorry?
So let's see how your body reacted then. So you
And Lynn also did the functional report.
Okay. Well, look at this first. I like to look at this one. Looks like your glucose is good. It looks like I can't see my column over here. So you know what I'm going to try to do? Let me see if I can move this.
I'll tell you what I did when I was going through for this. I had two health trackers open. So I was going...
It won't let me freeze the rows.
I know it. I had the same issue.
Here's what I can do, though. I can probably... There's the ones that it's saying are... Oh, like here. No, it shouldn't, because these aren't merged. Let me just try this one more time. View. Maybe I had two rows. Freeze. One up to column A. Can't freeze, which are part of a merged cell. So something's part of a merged cell. And I bet it's down below. Let me just look and see if I could quickly change that. Yes, this one. Okay. I'm just going to unmerge this. Yeah, unmerge it. Okay, up here. And I'm going to say unmerge. Now I should be able to do it. Freeze. One column. No? Yikes. Something else is merged. Darn it. All right. I don't see it. It sees in between these. Darn it. All right. So we won't be able to do that. Then I will go back to the top. And what I'm going to try to do is move your column over. If it doesn't work, I'll move it back. But I want to be able to see what I'm looking at. So if I just take this, then I try this. I'm just going to put it right at the beginning. No, it won't do it. Okay. So you, what did you do?
Do you want me to open my side?
No,
with that.
I had a second health tracker open.
Just opened it a second time.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. It's just a little challenging to do it that way. I usually like when you're adding, I mean, I know it's harder to do, but to go this way. So your most recent one is all over here. Most people don't have the issue because they don't have as many as you do, but you went back and put a lot of years worth in. So let me.
I could start a new, I was thinking maybe to start a new one because I also tried to move everything and I couldn't do it. All the columns, put them.
Yeah. Why is it not? Let me find the lab one. Darn it, sorry. It won't let me scroll. I think it's frozen. There we go. Now it's not. It's feeling frozen. There we go. Lab results, US. All right. I'll have it in this one, and I'll shrink this one over like this. And then we'll open this one, and we'll pull it out like this. Now, you may not see. All right, there's Laura. Okay. Can you see? You probably don't see both, so let me do this.
I see both.
You do see both?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'll go all the way over to the end on this one. And we're looking at glucose, a uric acid. Let me pull this down so they're even. So uric acid is a little bit high. You know, it could be low B6. Or magnesium, because B6 and magnesium help to pull the uric acid out of the body. It could be, are you eating legumes? Because legumes are high in purines.
No, I'm not eating legumes. Okay. Would it be a nice idea to start? I haven't eaten legumes in 3 years.
No. I'm just wondering if you are, because that could cause an elevation in the uric acid. And meat can cause an elevation.
Oh, I was... But I haven't eaten them maybe for 2 weeks, but I was eating these crackers that have lentils in it. Remember they're powdered.
What about meat? Are you eating any meat?
I'm eating chicken and at times fish.
So there's the 5.7. Let me just get these lined up. This is a real thing. Okay, there's your uric acid. Okay, so uric acid bale, we don't need that. Blood urea nitrogen low. So this is looking like there's some low absorption of protein, these two, and we'll see what the protein numbers show. Okay, so this is your bun, B-U-N. This is bun. Fun. Okay, creatinine, EGFR, these are all fine. Sodium, potassium. Potassium's a little on the low side. You know, more potassium-rich foods, you know, some kind of like broths and vegetable broths, celery, those are good sources of potassium. And chloride's very low. Have you been avoiding salt?
No, I'm having it in my water every morning, like a small teaspoon, and I'm always adding salt in my food.
Okay.
So I'm real salt, it's called.
Yeah, all of these are indicative of low adrenals or low stomach acid. So let's keep moving on. Carbon dioxide is, let's see, there's, where was, oh, this was chloride. Let me just make sure I have them lined up properly. I'm going to put chloride at the top. I'm going to put this chloride at the top. Okay. Carbon dioxide is good. These are all good. Carbon dioxide, calcium, phosphorus. So your protein looks good. Your albumin looks good. So is there any kind of muscle wasting going on? Have you noticed that your muscles feel weaker or less strong?
No, I haven't been really exercising since I've been working with Maria. I hurt my joint in the body, so I haven't been moving in 2 months or a month and a half.
Okay, so that might explain the low BUNs. Okay, let's see, protein, albumin, top. Sorry, this is a very tedious way to do it. Alkaline phosphatase, you've had a history of low alkaline phosphatase, which often is a zinc. So that's an important one for you to get back on. Zinc, okay. And I'm going to have you write your notes because I can't write notes at the same time as trying to juggle these two.
Yes, I'm writing them down.
Okay, good. All right. Yeah, so your alkaline phosphatase has been a low one, and low zinc, low stomach acid. That's where I'm, you know, not absorbing zinc. Are you doing bitters still?
No. Okay. No, I just stopped that too.
I would get back on bitters. And it could be a bitters tincture. It could be bitters like you just have some juice right before your meal, et cetera.
Is that like what?
Like, you know, having some arugula, chewing arugula, and then really keeping it in your mouth for 5 minutes, about 10, 15 minutes before your meal, to stimulate your digestive juices, or the bitters tincture. There's a number of them. There's some that have alcohol in them, some that have apple cider vinegar in them.
Mm-hmm. And don't take the zinc when you take what?
Say that again.
Yeah, take zinc alone.
Right? I usually recommend taking zinc alone, like first thing in the morning.
Away from
some of the other like magnesium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what I like to do with the zinc is just first thing in the morning, take a swig of zinc, and you can put a pinch of vitamin C powder in it to make it absorb better, or a pinch of apple cider vinegar, a pinch of lemon. I mean, I know you used to not be able to take lemon, but yeah, that's what I would do. Now your iron is back up. You've had the strangest situation with iron. You haven't been taking iron?
No, I have been eating. I have been making a lot of seed and nut yogurts.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes a difference.
No, it's interesting.
But I'm not eating too much, like maybe 2 tablespoons every day.
Yeah, that wouldn't affect the iron. You're not taking it. So it could be related to your B12 folate status. Let's see. Your cholesterol is looking better than it's been in a really long time. And your
which cholesterol is the good one? The HDL?
Yeah, the HDLs are where are the HDLs? 92. And your LDLs, wait, where'd it go? Where did I just
number 20?
Wait a minute. What was I just looking at? Maybe I was looking at the wrong one. No, 199. What was the two?
Number 36. Row 36.
36 is cholesterol. 36 is cholesterol. 36 is the HDL.
HDL.
Yeah. Okay, I got confused here. But the 199, this cholesterol is 33, 34. What's 33? Oh, the iron. Yeah, your iron is way up there. I mean, it's, yeah, so your cholesterol is good. Your iron is too high. So we're going to have to look, get to the bottom of why that is. And then the triglycerides went up. So your triglyceride, wait, no, that's LDLs. That's LDLs. Triglycerides are 42, 92.
Number 30.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much better. The LDLs are a little high. What about omegas, omega-3s? Are you focusing on your omega-3s?
Yes, I'm taking from Mercola, K and omega. Let me see. K, and then I'm having a blank. But I think that's a combination. K3 and...
K2... K2 with omegas? Is this what he makes? Because K usually comes with D.
And with which one?
With vitamin D.
Ah, yes. I'm mixing up.
Yeah, you're mixing them up.
I'm not taking omega. I quit taking omega 3.
You quit taking omega 3?
With all the other vitamins. That was one of them that I was suggested not to take.
Yeah.
Like with turmeric and.
Yeah. And there's more here than I can actually spend time with today. But, your antibodies did go up.
I'm sorry?
Somebody opened the line and made it up. Yeah, just mute people. Okay, that's better. Your antibodies. They're up a little bit from last time, but they had gone up. This is where they had gone up from this date here, whatever this date was here. Was this 17? Yeah, this was June of 17. When did you move?
In December, end of December. Okay. But I had a stressful year.
You had a stressful year. And that's probably explaining why your numbers have gone up. Why your antibodies have gone up so much.
Wow, stress does that much.
Stress does a tremendous amount. Stress affects your conversion from T4 to T3, and that's slow. See the this is T4, this is T3. They're out of proportion with each other, so the stress. It's really, I can go through this, I can give you some ideas, but I think we really have to have, I have to sit down with this and see, look at your records, having had gone off of things. I'm just not sure what you're on right now and what I would recommend just based on this. I mean, I know the omega-3s are important. I know the zinc is super important. Let me look at your B12 status. But I'll give you a few tips. Red blood cells, hemoglobin 15, 45. So a little, I think this, you're definitely a little dehydrated because these numbers are a little high. Because I don't think you've not had a history of that. Hemoglobin, hematocrit, mean corpuscular volume is 59 and it's 97. So did you go off your B12?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need B12. You have MTHFR. You need the B12, probably the methylfolate as well. Were you were doing the liposomals, and we'd weaned you up to a certain point, right?
Yes, I was, and I stopped all that. Yeah, all at the same time with Sequoia.
Yeah, but she didn't want you to go off of it long term, right? It was supposed to be just for a short time, and then start introducing again.
Yes, and then I asked her to. We talked about it, and she suggested that I not take it.
Okay. Neutrophils are a little high. 83 is hemoglobin A1C. Your hemoglobin A1C went up. So have you been eating more glycemic stuff? Have you been testing your sugars? Because your hemoglobin
A1C. Yes, no, I'm fine. Unless it's the chicken.
Or stress. I mean, if it depends. I think.
Stress. I've been stressful.
Yeah.
Okay. All together.
I think the stress, you know, you need to be addressing that. So I think the stress is major. I think you got to get back on the zinc, omega-3s, B12, and folate.
Mm-hmm.
And are you on any vitamin C at all?
That is one of them, but I somehow forget to take them.
Okay, I would do that. The other thing I would do is really, like I was telling Sandy, go in and do the chronometer. Put your numbers in there. See what your body, what you're taking in food-wise, and then adjust your food to make sure you're at least covering all your bases with your food. Yeah, you may need some extras like zinc and the Bs due to the genetics, right? But I think that actually working with that diet, what do I have to add? Do I have to add another smoothie? Do I have to add some juice? Do I have to add some extra kale? Like, what do you need to be able to add to that diet? And you'll be able to see you're at 47% of your RDA. You're at 22%. You're at 90%. You're at 150%. And that'll give you a lot of good insight as to how balanced your diet is right now.
And which chart is that? Because I wasn't listening.
It's chronometer.com. chronometer. It's a free app. And if you wanted to get the upgrade, it's like $40. But you put your numbers, you put all your foods in for a few days, and it does some really nice graphing. It's
and then for that, you need that meter that you were talking about?
No, you don't need that at all.
Just the food.
Just to track your food, right? You can put in, it'll give you a spot where you can put notes, and you can put your glucose in as well, and that helps you to track.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
That's what I would do. But for sure, you need the zinc again, and you need the Bs.
And the liquid one, I have some pills here.
Yes, what?
Some zinc pills I have.
If you have that, you can try it, zinc picolinate or zinc. I prefer liquids just because I think, especially with indications of low stomach acid, you probably are not going to absorb it as well. Okay?
I'll see what I can get here in Canada.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Do your best. And take the pills in the meantime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see what you can get.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
On the Vital group and ping Mary Luciano or Mary Didiano. She goes by two different names, but she's in Canada and she's figured out a lot of the places where you can get stuff. She's on the East Coast in Canada, but she definitely knows a lot of the places. And Shonda, if you ping Shonda on the Sweet Spot, she's in Canada and she's one of our health coaches and she might know. And Steph as well, just ping Steph and say, hey, do you have any good sources of these things liquid wise?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Hey,
I did have some questions, but I'll.
Yeah. Let me go through others.
Or some other time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So stop share. All right. Where's Debbie? There's Debbie. You're sitting in the dark, Deb.
I know, huh?
Well, you're probably not in the dark, but it's the...
It's the lighting. I'm not in the dark, but it sure looks like it on the...
It looks like it on the screen.
Yeah.
All right. So what's up and how can I support you?
Well, last time we talked, you'd mentioned to make sure my Dutch tests were uploaded. I have the Dutch complete and the cycle mapping on... My thing, because I had been having a cycle that I think when I talked to you was like already been like 17 days. And it finally stopped after 19 days. But you wanted to look at, my hormones to kind of give a more specific suggestion.
Okay, let's see.
So I have questions related to that.
All right, so you put it up here.
So it's... For some reason, they're in different spots, but they're both on my, here, let me tell you, on the
if your Master Health Tracker, let me show you, it's okay to share my screen?
Sure, sure. But it's in these little folders on the Google Drive.
Okay, let me show you what I see.
Okay.
Share screen. Here we go. All right, so this is what I see. Let me make it bigger.
Okay. Okay, so if you look at the lab tests, blood tests, and reports.
Okay.
Then you go into 2017.
Oh, it's 2017.
I took it last year, but I figure it's still pretty much the same. And then there's the Dutch Complete, but the cycle mapping is in a different location. We can, I don't know which one you want to look at first.
Well, I'd like to have them both up. So where is the cycle mapping?
So the other one, if you go back to that.
Let me open this one. I'm going to say open in a new window.
Okay.
That way I can go back without losing it. All right. And then where am I going?
It's under functional lab tests. I don't know how these got all split into different things, but anyhow, if you go back one more time, you'll see functional lab tests, three down.
Okay.
And then
you can go in there and move them around.
Yeah. And then see that second one. Yeah. So I mentioned the rhyme or reason of all this, but.
Okay. All right. So now I have both of them open. And here's the cycle mapping. Yeah. So I know that, you know, it's this year's different. You had a very unusual cycle right now. So this is not necessarily going to reflect that cycle. So just
okay,
so.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right? But so, I had been a regular at this time too, which is why I had to do the cycle mapping, because they want you to do the Dutch Complete on a particular day of your cycle. And it was so regular, I could never figure out what that day was.
So but yeah, you can see this is off, right? Yeah. These dotted lines are what it should be, right? Or this is what yours are, and this is where it should be, right? Let me just make sure I have the legend right. Some of them are different than others. Yeah. To me, it looks like, okay, let me see. Okay, so pregnant dial and pregnant trial. And then the dots are range low and high. So these are the ranges. And this is what yours are. Is that correct? Correct? Yeah. So it looks like you were peaking early on your estrogen. Mm-hmm. Instead of peaking out here, you're peaking early, which could cause an earlier, shorter cycle. And then this is the progesterone. It's low. It's always supposed to be low at the beginning. But again, you're peaking early on your progesterone. And then, you know, so here's where you would be starting to get a cycle versus out here.
Yeah.
Probably where you did get a cycle. So let me look here. And you're 50 and you're still getting cycles, but your estrogen is like in the toilet. I mean, it's way off the top. Sorry. Your estrogen is over the top. You should be starting to see that estrogen coming down. So you're very estrogen dominant compared to progesterone, but even your progesterone is high. No testosterone, none. So low. Your cortisol levels, and this was during the mold exposure or? This is stage 3 adrenal fatigue. Okay. And in order to get these numbers to work, the sex hormones, you got to deal with the stage 3 adrenal fatigue. In the module that you have on CAFE program, which is all about the adrenals, mm-hmm. we have a whole section on, you can read on stage 1. And there's a booklet that says, well, if you're in stage 1, here's some of the nutrients to consider. Here's some of the herbs to consider. Now, for you, you're sensitive, so you just have to go slow. But I think that getting those cortisol levels and supporting your adrenals is super important. So the nutrient support for the adrenals, pantothenic acid. I mean, the ideal is 500 milligrams 3 times a day. You're going to have to look at that a little bit more, slowly moving up to that, and may not get all the way there. vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams three times a day would be a good dose for you. Again, you've got to be careful because there's only certain vitamin C's you can take without aggravating your gut. Look in here. There's probably some liver congestion when you have a low 5-alpha reductase activity here. And given that you had all the mold exposure and you've had a lot of other exposures, supporting your liver, even just food-wise supporting your liver, like some foods like dandelion, getting some milk thistle seeds, and you can grind them up. Let me pull up a sheet for you. Let's put in blue. Not folder. I didn't want a new folder. I wanted a new. Here we go. I want a new folder. Why are you telling me I want a new folder? I want a new file. There we go. Shoot. There we go. That's better. And we're going to call it Debbie. Okay. Go there, it'll name it that. Okay, good. So today is 6/26/18. So I would be looking, I would just say indications, and this was last fall, so stage 3 adrenal fatigue. And then I would look in CAFE. Of nutrition and excuse my typing. I can go back later and fix it. I'm a terrible typist. Nutrition and supplements and herbs. Again, you know, you're sensitive. You got to find those things that you can do it to support. I would look at liver support. That's overall going to help, but there was an indication of a 5-beta reductase. I would say that probably needs, foods like dandelion. You can get dandelion root tea. Eat dandelion. The other thing is burdock root. You should be able to get that at most markets. And it looks kind of like a carrot shape, but potato-like skin on the outside. And it can be very, very nurturing and supportive of your liver. And you just get in the habit of including it in a smoothie or chopping it up like matchbook size. In macrobiotics, they'll take that with some carrots and just saute it with a little bit of sesame oil. And it makes a really nourishing and adrenal-supporting meal. And that could be something, you know, to provide a little variety to your meals. Real easy to make. Real, real easy.
What about the tincture version of burdock?
Tincture, but I think she's sensitive to alcohol. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got to be really careful with Debbie because of, you know, some of the sensitivities. So you can get like burdock tea as well. I don't know. I haven't really drunk it, so I don't know how it tastes, but the dandelion root tea is very mild. You can also get milk thistle seeds or extract, powdered extract, and you can take that as a milk thistle seeds you can grind up in a coffee grinder and put into a smoothie or sprinkle on salad or that kind of thing. Just go small amounts just to make sure it doesn't aggravate your gut. They may be a little harsh for your stomach because I know you're sensitive. So maybe getting milk thistle seed extract powder. I know that Z Natural Foods has it. And all this is going to help to support that liver in, you know, maintaining proper balance and proper hormone excretion. but you're making too much. You're making way too much estrogen, and not in, proportionally not good to progesterone, but you're still making a lot of progesterone as well. Not making DHEA, not DHEA, but testosterone, which might make it really difficult for you to gain strength, right?
It's yes. really
hard.
A lot of trouble with healing my shoulders.
Healing because the testosterone is important for that. You might look at if you're comfortable with doing DHEA. Again, you're sensitive, so I'd go slowly with it, but DHEA could support you in making more testosterone. Also, yeah.
I'm low on that too, but because of the fibroids, I think there was concern about the DHEA making even more estrogen and them growing even more.
So. It's possible. Let me look at your aromatasing. We usually see aromatase issues in males that are converting to too much estrogen, but in your case, that's probably true. Let me think. I don't even think about that. Yeah. Okay. And the other thing is aromatase inhibitors. Okay. So there's some herbs and nutrients. Jay's an expert on those. Aromatase inhibitors. Nettles. Zinc is an important one. GLA, which is borage oil. What is a pygium? What are some of the others that you're on? I'm thinking off the top of my head, the aromatase inhibitors. My brain is fried at the end of the day. I'm not thinking of my aromatase inhibitors. Jay, what are some of the other aromatase inhibitors you've got?
You would put me on the spot.
Never mind. I'm going to look it up. Is that okay?
You can pull my thing up.
I could? Okay, good. I'll do that. Because I had a whole list of them written out for you.
I was kind of going over them in my head, and you were taking them off.
And I'm like, where?
A DIM.
Yeah, DIM can be a good one for, but again, some people get nauseous. Like I'm cautious, especially with women who are in their menstrual eras, because they'll sometimes create a little bit of GI upset with too much DIM. But broccoli sprout powder, that'll bring down your estrogens.
I was going to say cruciferous vegetables.
Cruciferous vegetables. And even if you can't eat them because if they're a little harsh, you can do the broccoli sprout powder and the even broccoli powder. You can get them all at Z Natural Foods.
I think it's the first blue one.
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a whole list of them. And you're going to have to experiment. Sometimes you can get these herbs in powders in small amounts and just see what works. Tinctures, but then it's the alcohol again. Okay, so let me see where your aromatase inhibitors. List of them.
So my chart's the opposite of hers. I'll trade you.
Let's see.
I'll give you the excess that I'm trying to get rid of.
No, he had the excess, but he's gotten, you've come, yours has come down quite a bit. Where did I put that list?
Well, there's some in there.
To zinc for sure. 16 hydroxys compared to the cruciferous vegetables, right? We just mentioned that. Keeping your blood sugar steady, super important, because excess insulin makes a difference. Did she disappear? Oh, no, there's let me see. Yeah, so.
Yeah, the ginsengs.
The ginsengs.
Rhodiola.
Rhodiola, yep. I thought I had this whole thing on aromatase inhibitors with you.
Yeah, you did. It's in a separate one.
Oh, it's a separate document. Yeah, that's right. I gave you a whole separate document on aromatase.
It's there somewhere.
Aromatase inhibitors. Here we go. I thought I had done this whole big chart on it. So here's some aromatase inhibitors. You don't need this side because this side, you know, some of them overlap, but you actually have the opposite of J and the 5-alpha reductase. Yours is low. But these are some of them. I'm going to drop these into, and I'll pull out the ones I don't want to recommend to you because of knowing more about you. I would leave that one out. But here's some of the foods, collard greens, cacao. Do you do okay with cacao or no?
I don't do great with cacao.
Maybe we'll take that one off. And what about nuts and seeds?
I'm starting to do some with as milks. Seem to be able to do milks.
Right. They're going to be less, they're going to be more absorbable, especially if you soak them first.
Yeah.
Here's some things to consider, and just looking at the food world, that would help to bring that down. Because of the you said you have fibroids, you have an estrogen dominance, that's very common in fibroids. I would say, have you ever looked at, what's the name of that? Chase tree. Vitex.
Yes, I was, thanks for saying that. I was going to ask you about Vitex. I actually have it in a glycerite, but I just wasn't sure if I should be taking it and how to take it. I needed kind of reminders on how that works.
Yeah, so I would say look at the, because the dosing is going to be different on each one, but you're sensitive, so start with like a half a dropper.
Okay.
And just take it once a day for a little bit, and then, is she still there? Or did we lose her?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Take it once a day for a bit, and then see how you tolerate it. And the best time to take that is going to be the second half of your cycle, starting around day 10.
Okay, so start it on day 10?
Day
okay.
10. Now, if you don't know, just take it the first time, just take it through, and then okay. kind of watch. And it will help. It should, if it helps to bring the progesterone up in relationship to the estrogen, it should help to stabilize your cycles after a bit.
Okay, so take it every day.
I would just take it every day. Just start with a half a dropper, see how it feels, get through a cycle. When you get to the end of that one, the cycle you're on,
yeah.
Note how many days it was.
Okay.
And then go ahead and see if you can wait until day 10 and then start it again on day 10. See if it made a difference in that cycle.
Okay.
And you may not know where you are in your cycle right now because.
Well, I was going to tell you, when I did that Dutch test and the cycle mapping, I stayed on my progesterone oil. I'm on a transdermal progesterone oil. It's Bezwecken.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed on it so we could see what it was doing. And that's why I put the progesterone looked kind of high too, because that's me on the progesterone.
Yeah.
Oil. And then, I went off it for a couple weeks or for a while, and then I had this really long cycle, and the last few days of that cycle, I went back on it, and I'm wondering if that helped me stop mm-hmm. the cycle.
I'm sure it does help you, and I think it's definitely indicated, but it looked like it wasn't enough. So you could either be considering taking more of that transdermal, or you can look at adding some Vitex. Since you have the Vitex, you might as well try that, because that's going to stimulate your body to make more progesterone, as opposed to taking it from the outside, which is always my preference.
I'm on 10 drops a day right now that seem to help my cycle stop. And I'm like 5 days with no cycle. I'm still doing 10 drops a day, but I don't really know how much to continue with, what the dosage should be with the, I'll tell you what I used to do. I used to take 5 drops days 1 to 14,
mm-hmm.
and 10 drops days 14 or so to 28.
Your cycle again. See, it's coming up early, so and then it's dropping off. I would wait. Yeah, I guess I would probably not take any the first 10 days. And then I would go to taking, I would start taking the 10 drops right there. We want to bring it up slowly. We don't want it to, so this is coming up as a result of being here. You're coming up too soon. We want you coming up out here. So that's what I would do. I would do it, start it on day 10.
The progesterone.
Yeah, start it on day 10 and see how long what your cycle is. You can then try starting it on day 12 and see if it lengthens your cycle at all.
Okay, so I've been on it 10 drops a day since the last 3 days of when I was bleeding, and now I'm on day 5 of no cycle. I'm still on 10 drops a day. I guess I'm just afraid to stop and starting to
Don't bleed. Stop and start until your next period. Just keep doing it till your next period, and on the next period you can play around with it. Same thing with the Vitex. If you want to add the Vitex, that you can, or you can wait till your next period and then start it on day 10.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering what to do with those, but I figured these tests might tell us what to do with progesterone.
Yeah, and then, you know, Jay's point with DIM is a possibility, but I would probably start with, instead of going right to DIM because of your sensitivities, I would say broccoli sprout powder.
Z natural.
Yep. And the nice thing about it is it's very mild and neutral in taste. You can even add it to a nut milk. It's very, very mild, and maybe a teaspoon a day.
I actually like it, so it must be something in my body, you know. So, okay,
broccoli sprout powder. So you are doing?
Yeah, actually, I like the smell of it, the taste of it, so something must be right for it.
Something right. How much are you taking?
Well, I found I liked it mashed in avocado, but then I haven't been doing avocado, so I haven't been doing as much of the broccoli sprout powder. What's another way of doing it? Just mixing it with water and drinking
it? Mix it with water and drink it. You can sprinkle it on a salad. You can mix it in your nut milk. I do it in elixirs. So I'll make an elixir and I'll stick some broccoli sprout powder in there.
Okay.
You can put it in salad dressings. I mean, you pretty much can put it in anything. Soups.
Okay, so I'll start finding other ways to do it. It's so good. My favorite way is you mix it into avocado with ume vinegar.
Ooh.
And it makes like a guacamole. Yeah. For some reason, the flavors are really good together. The ume, the broccoli sprout powder, and the avocado. I've been on like a little bit of dry spell with avocados, so now I have to just branch out and do something else with it.
Well, you know, you might try, I don't know if you can, like, soak some nuts. So make sure you soak them, and then make a little pate with them and blend that in there. So you can mix a vegetable with some soaked up nuts or seeds. Uh-huh. You know, start with seeds, are easier to digest. And then you can put some broccoli sprout powder in there.
Okay, yeah. I'll play around with that. That sounds good.
Okay. So, the liver support, let me look a real quick look at the rest of this.
What about maca? Would that help her?
Maca might increase the estrogen.
Okay.
I'd be a little concerned with maca with this. I want to be pushing more towards the progesterone and reducing this aromatase. I mean, the good thing is you do have decent amounts of estriol, but your ratios are way off. It's possible you have an iodine deficiency going on. The good news is your protective estrogens are high, and this is important here because your numbers are so high, but the twos, see this bottom one, are much higher than the others, and these are more problematic. But you might be inhibiting bone because of the 16 being low. I don't know of any downsides of the 4 being low, but the 16 being low could be inhibiting bone. So I'd be making sure that nettles we put on that list, I'd make sure you're doing the nettles, and you can do some horsetail. You can make it into an infusion and start drinking it.
You said iodine because of the estradiol?
Yeah, this estriol is super low.
E2.
Comparatively, the E3. The E3. So what we look at this, we look at the ratio here. Let's see. So estrone plus estradiol should be equal to or less than estriol. So hers is the opposite. She's more like a 0.3 ratio instead of a 1 or better ratio. So you basically divide estriol by the sum of the other two to get the estrogen quotient. And because the 16 is so low, there's iodine is required for converting from the estradiol into the estriol.
Okay, that's good to know.
So iodine could be a possibility. You can look at the sea vegetables. You can look at doing an iodine load test.
Okay.
Okay.
Load test. For retesting hormones to see where I'm at, you know, it's a lot to do that whole Dutch cycle mapping.
I would just do the regular Dutch.
What about, the thing is, when I try to do regular Dutch and I don't know my cycle, it's hard to figure out the day to do it on.
Right. I would work on these things first. Don't worry about doing another test for maybe 3 or 4 months. just work on some of these things first. Work on the liver. Work on the aromatase. You know, let's put these up here. Consider Vitex or just increase your progesterone oil. Or, you know, change it to the... You might want to increase it. But I would maybe do 15 drops. Days. 10 till end. That kind of thing. Consider DIM. You can look into it. Just do some research on it to make sure diindolmethane, just to make sure you feel comfortable given your gut health status. Mm-hmm. So, but the broccoli sprout, you know, just get it in there more regularly, more cruciferous. Let's see. Okay. And then iodine may be low.
Hakalo labs.
Hakalo, right? Jay, I'm going to put you in charge here. I'm going to take a day off and let you lead these calls. You know,
yeah, it's just like I've had these, I've gone through this myself and I always end up with these questions. So might as well, I'm just trying to help out.
I think it's great. I'm just thanking you for that. I think
you'll hang up and go, oh man, I should have asked where you get the test.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. So you're remembering all the uh-huhs. Yeah. Hakalo Labs. You can get the test at for. And it's possible you have some bromine toxicity, right? You've had a lot of exposures. You've had fires. You've had floods. You've all kinds of stuff. And it's possible your bromine's high. Uh-huh. And bromine will interfere with the iodine and block the iodine receptors as well.
Will this test tell me if that's going on?
Yeah. So you want to get the full iodine load with halides. You want to do it the spot plus... spot plus challenge. And they'll tell you what test to order if you're not sure. They're very friendly there. Lynn?
In the Vital Health community, I put that article on iodine, and there was a really good list in there on unlikely sources or things we don't think about that have bromide.
Bromide in them. Got it.
You know, good. Yeah, you know, like think about fire retardants. How many of our materials are saturated in that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
great. And that article was in on which the Vital community?
It was on the Vital Health, the Vital Facebook group.
Great. Are you on? Do you do Facebook, Debbie?
Yeah, but I think I'm just on the ERC Facebook. It's a different one that you're talking about.
Yeah, go in there and ask to be a member. Let's look up Vital Community and just say, you know, I want to be a member and Lynn will approve you. And if you can find that link, you can just give it to me and I'll put it in her chart here.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Perfect. Yeah. Great. Does that help?
You know, I'm about to get my blood work, you know, this like blood panel again for, it's been like a year and I didn't know if it would be, when you do a blood test for like that, I'm looking at my list right now, the estrogen, estradiol, progesterone, DHA, testosterone.
I just don't. Do they do it? But I don't know that how, it's just not a lot of information there. I mean, you could certainly do the estrogen, progesterone just to see if the ratios have come more into alignment.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling if you haven't done anything to address it, that the testosterone DHEA are still going to be there in your adrenals. You definitely need to support yourself through stage 3 adrenal fatigue. That's the biggest thing. Because if you don't fix that, those other hormones are not going to get in balance.
Yeah. The blood tests for the hormones aren't all that.
They're there. They do give you the blood levels, but they're protein bound. They're not the free, and they don't give you the ratios between them. So you can certainly do it as a spot check. They're expensive to do. So if you don't have insurance to cover it, I'm generally.
Yeah, I was only going to do it if I could do it. I was going to check with my doctor to see if I could just do a regular hormone blood test. But I feel like the Dutch is so much more helpful than those.
So much more helpful. These are some of the things if you're going to get testing done that I'd want to make sure that you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Because I'm about to request from the doctor, so I thought this is a good time to ask you what, you know, what you'd like me to test.
The full thyroid panel would be TSH, total T4. Free T4, free T3. you don't really need the free T3. I think the free T4, if you want to, I mean, no, that's not true. I didn't write the total. These three you would want. And then antibodies. Then that would be TPO. Thyroglobulin. And vitamin D. These are the ones I would most go for. You might want to do a vitamin K just because I'm concerned about your bones. And these would be, this would be the minimum, I think, to get to see where you're at. Okay?
Okay. So vitamin K could be tested on a blood test?
Yeah, you could.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Okay?
Okay. This is helpful. Thank you for
you're
helping me with this.
You're very welcome. And this will be right in your folder. So just look in your folder and it says ERC Debbie Nimoy Notes. I'll just put my name on it.
This will be in the Master Tracker folder?
It's in, let me see which folder it ends up being in. I think it's in the same one with the, whoops, I'm back in J's. No, that's not going to help. Let me go back to yours. It should be in the same one with the Master Tracker. No, I lost it. Let me find another one of these. Pretty sure it's in there with the Master Tracker. La di da di da di da. Okay, so is this the right one? And I gotta get back in there. Yeah, just look in the one with your Master Tracker. If it's someplace else, I'll let you know. All right?
Okay.
Thank you. Hands up, I want to get to. You're welcome. All right. Let me go back to stop share. And hands up, I saw Maya. Hi, Maya. Yeah, you need to unmute yourself. There you go.
There, I just had to do that. This is a great call. I've gotten important nuggets from everybody.
Oh, good. Yay. And I love your glasses. Are they, they're the blue light blockers, right?
Yeah. I try to have them on all the time whenever I'm on screens.
Yeah.
Let's see. I did the thyroid panel, but there was last week, but the results haven't come back yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to do them another time.
Okay.
And I've been really struggling for quite a few months and I'm, got trying to get back on track. So I'm on day 5 of fasting. The first couple days I was, because I'd been reading and learning a lot more about the one meal a day type fast, mm-hmm. fasting like, 23 hours at least. And mm-hmm. So the first couple of days I did that and then I went to water only. Mm-hmm. And, but it was just, taking forever to get my blood sugars down because they got really high again. So, and I can't, I can't do the leaky gut test until I can get normal blood sugars. And so I guess I'm wondering about what kind of fasting plan I should continue because I figured the rest of this year, I need to be primarily doing that and, whether it's, several days, one meal a day and then a couple waters or whatever.
Yeah. So I think you can do some alternating and there's a number of ways you can do it. I don't know if you've read Jason Fung's book, but he talks about some alternating fasting and what's the guy that did the, what's his name? Why am I forgetting his name? The cellular detox guy, he did a fasting group recently, but they talk a lot about cycling it. And I think that, if you were to do like 3 days a week, what alternating days of the one day, right? And then on the other days you would do say restricted eating fast, or you can do water fasting on those, but one day a week doing what's called feasting, mm-hmm. not feasting on M&Ms, and not right. going nutty, but just kind of eating normally. For you, it would be just eating a lot of vegetables, right? Because mm-hmm. even vegetables. So you would just like pig out on vegetables at every meal, probiotic containing, just eat like a normal, really healthy way one day a week. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you know, every couple of weeks, you could do a 5-day fast if you wanted to, water. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to this other regime. It's a matter of keeping your body guessing, mm-hmm. right? Because I think your body, like it stabilizes real easily. It goes, oh, well, you're not going to feed me? Okay, great. I ain't going to burn calories. Thank you. You know, mm-hmm. so I think it's giving it that way of going. Because there's somebody who I guided through a 28-day fast. And he did figure this out on his own, but he works really well with, he'll do a day of eating, a day of fasting. 2 days of eating, 2 days of fasting. 3 days of eating, 3 days of fasting. 4 days of eating, 4 days of fasting. 5 days of eating, 5 days of fasting. Back to one day. Mm. And he got himself off of insulin and metformin and, you know, all the stuff by doing the fast, the long fast. But then he found that this is what kept him stable and sane. So that's mm-hmm. a consideration. I think you have to find your own groove with it. Mm-hmm. So you may try, if you're doing 5 days of water, 5 days of maybe one meal a day, see how that goes, you know, or alternating one meal a day with like a 16-hour, two meal a day plan. Mm-hmm. You probably don't need 3 meals a day, you know?
No. I mean, definitely not. I mean, it's been a long time since I've done three meals
a day. That might be your feast day and you try it. Because remember when you were stabilized, you were stuck and I said, eat more fat because you're just not getting enough calories. Mm-hmm. And once you added like 300 calories a day of fat, you said, I just dropped 6 pounds. How did I do that? I just added 300 calories a day of fat, mm-hmm. right? And I think you got out of that mode. I mean, it's scary when you go, I'm overweight and I can't get rid of my weight and I'm going to eat more. Like, what are you nuts? But it works because it keeps the body in that confusion mode, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I think you need to do with your body. I think you need to keep it in that confusion. So the way that, why am I not remembering his name, Lynn? He just did that fast thing. What? Tell me his name.
Pampa.
I always forget his name. I get him. So Pampa said something like this. He said, okay, so you can do the 5-1-1 plan, or you can do the 4-3-2 plan. Does that add up? No, that doesn't. The 4-1-2 plan, right? Or you can do the 5-3-2-2 plan. So the way you do that is you pick some of those days are going to be your one day a week, one day, one meal a day or fasting. Cause that counts as the same thing, a 24-hour fast or like a 36-hour fast where you go a whole day with just water, one or the other. So 3 days a week, you do that. Okay. And then on the in-between days, on say 2 of those days, you do a 2-meal-a-day plan. And then one day you do a feast plan. You just eat as many vegetables as you want. In your case, just like go to town, eat salads, eat, you know, soups, eat whatever you want in vegetables. And then you go back and you do it again. Mm-hmm. And it keeps the body from getting that, you know, stuck at that plateau. It helps to break through plateaus with blood sugar.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I had watched a lot of Jason Fung's videos on YouTube, and a couple of things, like for me, you know, since I'm so resistant and it's been a lifetime of dieting, doing the 2 meals, I'm thinking keeping it within a 4-hour window, mm-hmm. because you have at least 20, like closer.
Yeah, 4 to 6 hours. So, you know, you do an 18, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the other thing is really working to up my calories, because I've been on, you know, 600 to 800 calories for decades, you know?
Right. And so, that's what I think going back to adding the fats to increase right?
Right. And so my question is, what would be a normal healthy level to get, you know, proper nutrition in terms of calories?
Well, I think you go to the chronometer. And you start plugging your stuff in to see, like how much.
I mean, are you talking about like 1,200 calories? Or
I think it probably 1,200 is more like it, you know, 11 to 1,200. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think you probably should get is a ketone meter. Do you have a ketone meter?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I do. Okay. Yeah, I have a blood ketone meter.
So you get yourself into ketosis with the fasting. Mm-hmm. How high do your ketones go when you do that?
Well, right now, even on day, well, I didn't do it this morning. I think yesterday I was still only at a 0.3.
So, and that was day 3?
That was day 4.
Okay, so you're a slow adapter, you know, which makes sense that you, and so you, can you go longer?
Yeah.
So you get into the, I want you to get to at least, I'd like to see you get to at least 3.
Oh, no, I mean, you mean 3.0?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, I've never been able to get that high.
Okay.
Even on, you know, water.
But, even all the way, have you done it on one of your longer fasts, checked your ketones?
No, I didn't own the meter.
You didn't have it. That's what I thought. Yeah. So I would love to see you keep going if you can. I mean, you've done longer fasts before. So as long as your lifestyle right now allows you to, just keep going until you can just see it starting to creep up. If there's a point at which it's going to jump, right? For everybody, it's different. My husband and I did this at the same time. By day 3, I was at 7.7.
Wow.
Right. And then I maintained at 7.7 to 8. For the next few days, right? I've been eating for 2 weeks and I'm still maintaining at the, in the mornings around 2.5, in the evenings, like a 1.2 is the lowest it goes. And that's with eating a plant-based whole foods diet with a decent amount of fat, not overdoing fat, and no oil at all. I don't do any oil. So I'm able to do that, but I get in there quickly. He kept going, and by day 7, he was at, I think his highest he ever got was like 3 or something, 2.5 or something. So everybody's a little different, but I'd love to get you to see you in that true full ketosis at 3.
Oh, me too.
See if you can get there, but then you want to figure out how do you maintain
1.5,
it.
1.5, yeah.
Right? Even 1.5 would be great.
Yeah.
But you want to get there.
So then the question is, what about like, my supplements or exogenous ketones?
You can, I would certainly look to see if you could do it yourself, but then exogenous ketones can certainly help.
Yeah, right? Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, I haven't been doing them, but I'm thinking, all right, here is like 5 days and I'm still not even getting anywhere. And
not even getting into ketosis.
The ketones would help my body know that there's a supply and kick it over into that quicker. I mean, I know
it will definitely get you into ketosis within a couple of hours of taking the ketone.
Yeah, that's not going to burn my body fat.
So. That's not, yes, exactly. Yeah. But you can certainly do that. And then it's going to put you in a fat burning state. If you're doing that while fasting, then you're going to be forced to burn your body fat. Right? Because you're in fat burning mode, right, at that point. So I think it could be helpful. I mean, since you're going 5 days without, you can certainly add that and see what happens. It helps to put a little MCT oil with the ketones, I understand.
That's what I forgot to pick up today. I had just gone home for a few hours and I forgot to grab the MCT.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like a tablespoon, not even a tablespoon. I think it's like a third of a tablespoon or a half a tablespoon, a real small amount. 25 calories, that's it. 25 calories worth of MCT, which is what, about a quarter of a teaspoon, a tablespoon. Okay. And then you just add that with it. And if you're going to work out, you're going to walk, you're going to swim, whatever, you do that about a half an hour, 45 minutes before you do that. And that allows the ketones to get up so that your body starts burning that instead of, you know, burning away at the glucose.
Okay. And then continue with, the chromium polynicotinate and berberine.
Totally. Yeah, I would totally. I would totally continue with that stuff. See, but I think you need this guessing game with your body, and you need to have that level of fat a little higher.
Right. So yeah, that's what I thought. I would do at least a 5 to 7 day fast once a month, and then do the one meal a day, and then maybe, I was thinking of
The alternating. Like, don't just do one meal a day for 3 days straight, because that's when you start to get into that adapted state where your metabolism drops down. Instead, alternate those days. So I think having the, 18-hour fast on those alternate days and then either water or 24 or 36-hour water on the others. And then have that feast day, though. And the feast day is going to allow you to get all those antioxidant-rich nutrients. And maybe scary at the beginning to go, oh, my God, I'm eating 3 meals. And, oh, my God, I'm eating all these vegetables. Don't even measure your blood sugar. Just don't even bother. Don't get yourself into that stress state.
Stick to
the low glycemic stuff, right? Let's stick to your greens and, don't even cauliflower.
No. For me, it's greens, maybe some cauliflower, maybe some broccoli, but
there's tons of greens. Just, and then as much as you want, just really allow your, don't get f- full stuffed because overeating will raise your glucose, but just enough that your body's going, I'm nourished. I don't have to go into starvation mode. I'm not starving. I'm not dying.
No, I was, that was one of the things I'd gotten off track was I was eating some, a lot of big salads because I just missed all the veggies so much.
Of course.
So limited. But for me, the blood sugar, you know, even on lettuce and celery goes through the roof. So,
Allow it to happen one day a week and just experiment with it for a month and just see where you're in
a month. Yeah, but for me, with the one meal a day, with the Jason Fung stuff, you know, he was suggesting, you know, making sure that I have a big salad and a couple cups of cooked veggies, you know, with whatever protein source I'm using, you know, of having a really well-balanced, you know, on that level, since for me, you know, I am doing the animal protein. And then, of course, lots of fats, you know, coconut oil and avocado and stuff. So
I think you just have to play with it, Maya. Just like map and really keep good records because that way, you know, with your ketones, just don't bother taking it at the end of the day. Take it at the beginning of the day because it's always highest at the beginning of the day.
And that's that's when I usually do it as first thing when I wake up.
I mean, I take it multiple times. I'm wasting all my ketone strips just because I'm experimenting. They're expensive. They're a dollar a piece compared to like 25 cents for, and compared to free from this, which I love. Yay. I could just take my sugar anytime I want.
I know. Well, I think my meat, the strips are like $2.50 a piece because I don't have the money.
Oh, you don't have the keto. It's worth it because the Precision Extra ones are $2.50. And even if you have to pay $50 to get the meter, think of how quickly you'll save that in the extra cost of the thing. So with the Keto Mojo, it's 99 cents a strip.
Yeah, I don't have the extra. I have a different one, but
Whatever it is, but they're $2.50 each. That's
Well, and I'm not going to, I figured if I test once or twice a week is good enough. You know what I mean? As long as I'm sticking to, you know, proper eating.
I would say if you're going to do this experimentation over a week to do these alternating days, I would check it once a day in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because you want to find out what helps it. You want to find that out, and you're not going to find that out if you just randomly check.
Right. Yeah. I was thinking more long term. I did just pick up a box from home. It had 10, but I do have, I bought like 4 or 5 boxes of strips all at once when I
just commit to that one. Like if you're going to do, just do a week and say, how did this week go? Which days were my ketones the best? Did my ketones get really good after the 24 or 36 hour fast? How did they do after I had a good one meal plan? Just play with that and see how it goes.
But the issue is until I can get my insulin down, that's not letting me, that's why I can't get into ketosis is because my blood sugars are so high. And so, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take of doing the fast.
How long have you been, how high are your blood sugars now with this fast on day 4 of your fast?
237 this morning. I went to bed at like 186. I mean, I had been almost up to 400 a couple weeks ago.
What changed to shoot it up like that? You were down to below 100 at one point.
Oh, well, that never lasted more than, you know, right at the fast. Now, mostly my steady numbers have been in the, you know, like 150, 160 range mostly for the last 6 months or more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
why are they so high now?
Well,
did you go majorly off diet? Or?
Some of the supplements, my sleep's been shitty, stress, lots of stress, and I just had my birthday, and so I just said, screw it, I am going to have, you know, a birthday party, and I didn't want cake or anything, but I did make a beautiful fruit salad, so I let myself have fruit. I never eat fruit, so, you know, I had fruit salad at the party and then leftovers for breakfast the next day. And I had a house guest that week and we went to a gluten-free bakery and I got a few treats, you know, like,
So that'll explain it. I would get yourself stabilized, get yourself, if you can go a little longer on the water fast, do it. Cause you know, in the past that's done it, and having gone from, you know, really high numbers, it's going to take longer. But I think if you keep going, you know, good chance by day 7 or 8, you're going to see those numbers drop.
Right. So I think that's why I'm saying I'll wait to.
Yeah. Wait to start measuring. Whoops. She froze.
So you mentioned adding ketones. Are you talking about the Insta Ketones by Julian Bakery?
Yeah.
I watched your video earlier today. So if you were doing intermittent fasting, would you, what time of the day would you, if you're starting in the morning with a water fast, would you start some of that at that time, or you wait till you're life farther into?
I haven't played with it enough. I've only taken them twice myself because I forget. And I don't need them because I kick into ketosis at the drop of a hat. So easy for me. I've had people that I've guided through where they would take it. I mean, if you are exercising, it's a really good idea to do it about 45 minutes before the exercise.
Are you still talking to me, Dr. Anna Marie?
Oh, there you are. You're back.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I started to talk to Jay and he was asking about timing on the InstaKetones. And I think it's best at 45 minutes before your exercise is probably the better time and later in the day. But again, I haven't used them enough to know, and I haven't watched people long term enough to know. They don't taste real good, so just that's why people have a hard time taking them. They make them orange flavored, but it tastes like a Kool-Aid orange flavor or something. There's nothing like true ketosis, but if you are having a hard time getting into ketosis, it's a good way to jumpstart you. I know someone, she had neurologic stuff going on and she could get into ketosis over the period. It would take her like 2 weeks to get in, but then she'd have to stop because it was too much fat and she had liver gallbladder stuff. And so we put her on the ketones, the InstaKetones, and she was able to get into ketosis within a couple of hours. And it actually helped with her memory and her brain function. So, it's all a matter of finding our own way. So if you want to do it, sure, it's not going to hurt. And you can certainly test it, start using your ketone strips with your Keto Mojo and test a few days to see where your ketones are without it, just so you know, and then test it with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then just see if you can jumpstart it, because it is a good way to jumpstart you into ketosis. And also by taking them, for some people have to eat super high doses of fat in order to get into ketosis. I personally don't. I don't have to eat super. I just have to eat, lots of veggies and some fat. And it helps you to not have to eat so much fat to get into ketosis, which helps with a lot of other things. So.
Okay, good.
Okay? Yeah. And Maya, where'd you go? I don't see you. I'm going to hear you.
Yeah.
So you started to, who remembers where she left off? We were talking about, so you said if you're going to extend the fast, you don't have to waste your ketone strips until towards the end. Right. And then just be spot tested towards the end. Right. And then when you start to experiment though with the reintroducing food, then I would for sure start testing it on a daily basis because you want to see what impact your choices and your method of eating those days is going to have.
Mm-hmm. Great. I had a couple of other questions. One was, I think that I want to, I'm going to do the leaky gut test as soon as I can get normal blood sugars. And then I want to retest my adrenals because I was in third stage burnout a couple of years ago. And so I don't know that it's changed at all. So
even all the stress you've had over the last year with that book and moving from place to place with the stuff, I would say, it probably hasn't changed much.
No, I'm sure it hasn't.
Right. And what I would probably do is go to the CAFE program and go to the booklets and just see what are some of the approaches for stage 3 adrenal fatigue and see if there's stuff that you're not already doing. Work on that for a while and then do it. Because I don't want you to waste your money.
So work on that before I test to see where I am.
Yeah. When you're testing and you want to retest, you want to do something different.
Right.
I had bought
the pregnenolone and the DHEA, but I didn't take, the DHEA I'm concerned about because I'm opposite, because I have always been having too much testosterone rather than dominant. And I already, have had like little chin hairs for decades.
Yeah,
I so I think I shouldn't take it. I'll just throw it out. Yeah. So yeah, I guess I can go back on.
You can hang on to it and see. Like you can experiment with it, but I would stop. Yeah. Did you just go to the booklet to find it? I don't remember, so forgive me from a couple of years ago. Or did we talk about an approach for you? Or did you just
go to
the guidelines and the?
You know, it's like the biggest thing has just been me trying to get the damn blood sugar together, and the leaky gut stuff. So, because I also have the thyroid. Yeah, I mean,
And they all tie together. That's right. The thing. So yeah. Addressing the adrenal fatigue. Okay, so heart math, 5 times a day. You doing that?
I'm not, but I also want to start more restorative yoga. I think will be another good thing to do.
I think all of that, right? So do you just take before each meal, before any supplements, before, you test your blood sugar,
mm-hmm.
some heart math.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because that's a huge piece, right? And I think that when we take an adrenal restoration protocol and put it on top of a body that's just like, all over the map getting stressed out. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, let's just keep putting the fire extinguisher on this bucket while we throw flames into it and the paper keeps going on fire and we keep putting it out. It's like, mm-hmm. it doesn't really work. So those protocols are intended to, you got to get your stress levels down. And that's the first thing we talk about, right? Is your processes for keeping your stress level down, whether it's meditation, whether it's heart math. I think you can do both. I'll do heart math before each meal, before I go to bed. I'll do meditation in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things just add up and finding your fun stuff. I know you were walking, you were swimming for a while. You've got to just make sure you're building that stuff into your day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I definitely have been like doing like crocheting and stuff like
good.
That. Been a fun thing because
that's great.
Thing about singing became more of a stress than fun because not having any privacy really. So, so I started doing crochet.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So, trying to get the damn sleep better too because lately. I've been waking up at least 3 times a night, so it's just been really lousy sleep. But I had a question with, I think it was it CC's on the, yeah, because I also have homozygous with the 677.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know if that particular folate would obviously be a good mm-hmm. thing for me.
I think it's a good way. I'm pretty much having everybody do it that way because I just want you to build up to it. I don't want people taking more than they need of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want you to be able to watch as you build up to see what your levels are.
Well, and I'm
what your response is.
The bees that I have, let me get the photo.
Oh, if you already have some bees, let's not throw everything away and start all over again.
Well, but I'm wondering because I used to take some that specifically were, MTHFR, but every once in a while I shake up, what I'm taking. So it's not, and I'm
but do you remember if you have the COMTs, COMT?
I do have.
Yeah.
That.
So you got to be careful with too much of it because it's going to make you anxious. Now it may not make you outside anxious, but it can interfere with your sleep and it can make your blood sugar go up because you've got that inner trembling kind of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So I would be doing similarly for you. If I was starting you from scratch, I'd say do what I told Debbie to do. Just work it up and work it up slowly.
Cause I'm taking the pure encapsulation, B complex liquid. And then I didn't realize. And then I'm also taking the, Premier Research B12 ND liquid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that may be too much B12.
It could be. Here's the thing with the complex, but if it's liquid, you're probably getting it absorbed. When the liquid, it may not be getting absorbed as well. Liposomal can get right into the cells, can get right into the tissue. The liquid has to go kind of through the digestive tract, although if you hold it in your mouth, you'll get some of it absorbed sublingually. If you do it on an empty stomach, you'll get some of it absorbed through the stomach lining. Mm-hmm. So you've got better than just taking a bunch of capsules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would say start with, you haven't been taking it for a while, start back with it. start with one, start with the complex and just see, pay attention. Does your sugar go up? Right? Do you use your sleep improve or not? Mm-hmm. I would just be really aware. I think everything you add needs to be added with a lot of care and a lot of observation.
Which is the opposite of my nature. I like, go for the entire drop.
Jump in. Let's go for the gold. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. And I shot you a Facebook private message. I don't know if you ever check it, but check that.
Yeah, I'll have to look. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, good.
Yeah, great.
All right. Thanks, Maya. Mm-hmm. Who else? Oh, it looks like Drina joined us. Hey, Drina. Who else? Questions, comments? Anybody that needs? Okay, Laura? All right, wait. Okay. You're double. So, I think you're on the phone and the.
Yeah, okay. Now it's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yes, I was thinking about the iron, and I remember I'm taking the bone tea, which has all the iron, the herbs that have iron, like the nettle, the horsetail, and the alfalfa. I was wondering if that could have an effect.
I mean, it could. What your levels are, I wouldn't have expected it to jump it that high, but you have a history in the past of having had high iron and then gotten it lower. So that's certainly a possibility. Is there any yellow dog in there?
No, it's just these three herbs. But in the past, my iron went up too. I don't remember if it was because of taking iron or is it without the iron pill. I don't remember that.
So we didn't have the ferritin in there, so we don't know what the ratio of iron to ferritin is. And that's
my ferritin is there.
It's in there? I don't remember.
Today, something. Yeah. And Lynn put together the functional report as well.
I did the blood chemistry cellular report.
Let's see. I don't remember seeing the ferritin, so let me just look it up. All right, I'll look at the blood chemistry. Let me just find her folder again.
I think the ferritin was in a normal range.
It was normal with high iron.
Right.
Yeah, so that could be a melatonin issue. Normal ferritin. Where's your lab testing? Normal high iron with normal ferritin means you're not storing enough. Your body should be taking all that excess iron and sticking it into ferritin. But it's not. If I had high iron, expect to see high ferritin. And when it's not, there's a mechanism by which the iron has to get converted to a form that can be stored. And melatonin is one of those things that go into that. Let me see if I can find your... Where would it be? Under blood test, Lynn? What folder?
Yes, blood test and functional.
Patient report, June 26th. Here we go. Okay. Open in a new window. Let's see. Let me see if I can. It's okay to share. Share screen. Open in a new window. Where did it go? Let's do that. I thought I had opened the... No, that's not it. Let me find a different window. Let me share. Here we go. All right, so this is the report. And we're going to see... Oh, let's see. Ferritin, did it show? Usually the ferritin's at the end, isn't it? Here we go. It's reactive creatine, wasn't done. It was good, fully. Let's Is there some rhyme or reason to the way the order this is? Okay, so there's the glucose, there's the renal, there's the electrolytes, metabolic, protein, minerals, here we go. I don't see the iron listed there. There's the liver, iron markers, here we go, ferritin. Yeah, so your ferritin is on the lower, you know, lower end of the optimal, and your iron is high. So I would suggest that that could mean that there's some issue with the conversion. The only thing I've found in doing research on this was melatonin is an issue with that. So it could be, you know, go to, I don't know if you're doing like the glasses like Maya was wearing in the evening, right, to block the rays. Put that thing on your computer, that flux, F-L-U-X, to keep the rays.
I have that.
Okay.
And I sleep well.
What? You sleep well?
I sleep well at night.
Are you still going to bed late? Or are you getting on a better routine?
On and off. But it's true that I don't have drapes, but I don't have drapes, but since a month I've been putting on something on my eyes when I sleep. You know, how do you call them? The eye protection.
Right.
Because it gets quite bright in my room.
Right.
And that has.
Yeah, and you can sleep well and still have low melatonin. So, I mean, it's an adaptation and it's relative. How many hours a night are you sleeping?
At least 8 and sometimes 7. But I think I have noticed that I'm dreaming in the morning. And so I'm waking up 8 hours. I'm getting up 8 hours after I go to sleep, but my dreaming starts much earlier, sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning, I notice.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Lighter sleep then, and so you're coming to and then going back into the REM sleep. Yeah, I would look in the sweet spot under the sleep module and just look at all the ways that you can support melatonin and make sure you're doing that. And you could even, you know, potentially take a melatonin supplement and see if that works and have these redone in like 3 months.
Do take them for 3 months.
Yeah, because my concern is that iron that high it's an oxidative stress on the body, right? It's an oxidant and it allows bacteria to grow. It allows, you know, bugs to grow. It's just an oxidative stress to have that high of an iron. Really want that iron in the, you know, 80 to 100 range. Mm. Right. And then the fact that it's not, there's a functional test of how well does your body store iron? What does your body do when it detects too much iron? It's not doing what it's supposed to. It should be taking that excess, keeping it within the optimal range, right? Here's the 85 to 130 is optimal. It's not doing that. It should be putting it in storage.
Could it be that I have bacteria, to overgrowth of bacteria, and that would...
It's possible. You did have I think your neutrophils were slightly high. Let me look. I mean, most of these things look okay. Folate, hematocrit, RDW, white blood cells. Here we go. So totals are up. Your neutrophils are high, which could indicate there's a bacteria. It's not in the pathological range, but it's above normal.
And I see like actually what I wrote in my journal is I feel that I should get back into seeing what's happening in my gut. You know, my idea was to work energetically on it, but I feel like
everything like working together, right? Energetically working
with to happen now. Yeah, I feel like I want to get back. I want to create a plan, a health plan, yeah. And which includes the gut, the leaky gut, the metal, the heavy metal. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm ready for that now. And I was wondering I'd like to make a plan. What would you suggest? Like, how could we work on that?
Well, I mean, we don't have the time in a call like this to come up with your complete plan. Usually we do that in the comprehensive evaluation, right? So if you were in gold or whatever, I would be able to devote that time to doing that with you.
Mm-hmm. The gold. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then you'd also have your coach to be doing that ongoing, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, take a look at what I offered today. It was very, very nice.
Yes, Lynn just mentioned it.
He'll give you a code because that would be your fourth occurrence. So.
Oh, okay.
Yours would be even better than what you saw on that sheet. So talk to me and take care of it.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Totally welcome. Totally welcome. Okay.
So what's the difference between the gold and the gold elite?
Oh, well, you guys are you're coming back, right? So you get the prices way, way lower. There's a couple of extras. When you look at that sheet I sent out today, there was a list of some extra bonuses. You get to come and there's a couple of extra just elite, which is the returning members calls. Like there's a lab. I can't remember all the different things, but it's all listed in that sheet.
Okay.
Additional things you get. So you come back, you pay less, you get more. Is basically it. And you still get the same gold, you know, all the calls with your coach, et cetera. And the gold plus is the same, only it has the extra calls with me and the other extras that we put in there. Yeah.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, check it out. And like I said, the first five get the extra, an extra call with me. And then there's a bunch of other bonuses that we have listed there. And that's in addition to whatever other things we're going to be adding as we go through. And we're trying to sort through this, but we wanted to get it out to you guys as soon as possible. Okay. All right. Who else?
I'm headed for cataract surgery.
You are?
Yeah, probably in the next few weeks.
Really?
So yeah, I finally had my eye exam today and she said, well, yeah, the problem you're having in your right eye vision wise is this cataract has gotten worse.
Oh, has it been there for a while?
Yeah, it had kind of incipient over the last couple of years and I guess it's just started increasing all of a sudden. So it's unrelated to my retina issues.
Mm-hmm. How did the retina look? Did she tell you about that?
Yeah, that looks... It's not bad, but it's not, you know, it's not gotten any worse, but it really hadn't gotten any better.
Have you looked at anything on Dr. Pondrot's site? He talks a lot about some of his natural approaches to eye care. He's an optometrist, but a functional optometrist.
No, but I've seen that name before already.
And a lot of the stuff is the same stuff we're talking about.
Radio show with him.
Yeah, we did a radio show together, but one of the things he has, and I was on his radio show, he was on mine, but one of the things that, you know, he has some drops and things like that he talks about that can be helpful. He's a big fan of you know, avoiding surgery if possible. But again, if your vision's gotten to go and you can't see to drive.
Yeah, I mean, she said it's just, you know, there's almost no point in even, you know, getting new glasses because, this is changing so quickly. I could be getting new lenses every few months, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, check out his site and see, you know, I know you're a researcher. You like to, you know, learn everything you can about something before you go into it. But he has got a lot of good information. I haven't looked at his site recently, but I know he stays up on the research.
I was hoping the Beamer was going to help, but I guess not. Didn't seem to be really helping with the venous stasis issue on the, you know, blood flow either. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes those things work, sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. It all depends on what the root is, right? And have you done any ketone testing? Whoops, sorry.
So I had heard so much about the Beamer, I was thinking about trying it for my eyes too. So it's maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a setting. It's kind of one of the lower settings, and... I put it on first thing in the morning when I get up and then maybe one or two more times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing it since, I don't know January, 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I've, you know, had my retina checked, three times now since since I first had a problem, and you know, they're telling me they're not seeing. The ophthalmologist that I talked to, the retina specialist, I told him about the Beamer, and he wanted to know if there was any published studies on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
because that's one of the things that so many people, like ophthalmologists have said, was it's the only thing that they've ever seen improved
really?
From. Yeah.
Well, this guy hadn't heard of it, and he prides himself on being a research-oriented guy, so. Mm-hmm.
You probably can get some studies from the company, like check in.
Yeah, I need to ask Deborah if she can send me. You know, all you ever see from the company is some excerpt. So
yeah, but I may have links that I can send you. I'll have to look for it because I know at one point I did a lot of research, but I just haven't used it for a couple of years because I'm so EMF sensitive. I've just been staying away from it. But but that was one of the things I heard. I may have a link to an interview of an ophthalmologist who, you know, was saying.
That'd be good to have access to. Maybe you can post it in the Facebook group so everybody can see it.
There was there's a YouTube that there's an optometrist somewhere, I don't know where exactly, but he used a Beamer and claimed it helped with the macular degeneration. So, I don't know. I don't have that problem, but
it would be interesting to know how long, you know, they recommend doing it before figuring it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
You might check in with Deborah and see what she knows about that.
Yeah, but, I think it will.
And then, yeah, thank you, Maya, if you can share those stories.
If I can find it. Yeah.
Great, if you can find them. Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Who else? Questions, comments? We are getting really late. We've been going for 2.5 hours. So let me give Ellen a chance, Elor. Hi, Ellen. Ellen always likes to wait till the end. She likes to hear what everybody else has to say.
I have a question regarding the upcoming nutrigenomics, the two sessions in July. I went to 23andMe just to look because I hadn't been there before. And they had, the only thing that I noticed anyway was that they had health and ancestry, two different options or whatever for the test, I thought. And I think it was $199 for both of them.
Right.
And the other thing is that I couldn't really tell what the difference was between them or what each of them provided.
Yeah. So they don't sell just the health. They sell either the ancestry alone or health and ancestry. What you get with them, the difference is their site, they give you their own like little interpretation, health interpretation, etc. I don't find it particularly useful because it doesn't get down to the gene level like we like to get to. So here's the thing. I've been told by some that all of the same SNPs are measured on both, and if you get the raw data and run them through other reports, you get everything. But then I was told by someone else, like I don't remember who, had said, well, I don't think they are complete. So it's hard to get a straight answer out of the company because, of course, they want you to do the full one, right? So, but I know, and I'll text him on Skype or whatever. He's this guy that he's a pharmacist, but a holistic kind of pharmacist, and he runs a supplement company, and they do compounding hormones. But also, he has created this program, which he doesn't have for general sale yet, where they're analyzing all kinds of labs along with the genetics and pulling together and creating reports. And he was telling me that as far as they were concerned, all the SNPs they needed to do their reports were in the ancestry only. So I can't vouch for it 100%. Has anybody just done the ancestry and gotten their report to see if anything was missing? No. Because I know you can still run them through the MTHFR support and the strategy and all that. But I can't say for certain.
Okay, the other thing that I was concerned about was that they had a statement on their site that was talking about the timing in getting your results.
Yeah, it's 3 to 4 weeks, right?
It's 3 to 4 weeks, but it could be up to 8 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. So that really concerned me because I don't want to spend the money and get the test and then not be able to get the interpretation done.
Yeah. So we've been talking about this since the beginning of the year, right? Since we started, get your 23andMe's done, get your 23andMe's done. Because we're in the last month is when we usually do our interpretation. So, you know, we had a lot of time, but I understand it's late right now for you to be doing it, right? We've been talking about it for a while. So, you can still get your reports done and you can still go through all the documentation that we have, because even if you're not returning, you'll still have access to the site for another year. So you can still go through the and try to understand it, but you won't have access to the test results when we have the call if you don't. Now, it's possible you can get it done faster. I've had people get it done in 2.5 weeks, but there's no guarantee. And I think for them, it's a matter of how backed up they are. Right? Yeah,
right. Who knows?
But I mean, they advertise all over now. I mean, I saw them advertise on a football game my husband was watching. I'm like, 23andMe, holy cow. So if they're advertising on, the big football game and a whole bunch of people say and order it, then they're going to take 8 weeks. And that's probably why they put the disclaimer in, because when they get backlogged, it takes longer. So, I mean, it's a good test to have whether you get on that call and get it personally interpreted or not. You can always go through the reports and do the reports and go through it through the site and be able to figure out what's going on with you on the major ones.
Yeah, I also had a little bit of a concern about the number of reports. I'm trying to conserve my funds, and I don't have unlimited funds, so I wasn't really sure which of the reports I needed to get done or which would be the most beneficial.
Yeah, so that I explained also on that. For the video that I sent you a link to go in the site, it explains that. I think that the free ones, the Genetic Genie, you need to get the two of those, Genetic Genie Methylation, Genetic Genie Detox. And then one other would be great, either Stratagene or I kind of like Metabolic Healing. I think they changed the name of it, but I think it's a very comprehensive 50-page report, real easy for me to, and even for you to understand.
Okay.
So that's what I would do. Genetic Genie, the two Genetic Genies, and on the site I have a worksheet that you can use to compare your report, and it tells you what each of them mean. So you can look at it, and right on the site it tells you how to go through it. And then I would do on top of that, I would probably choose Metabolic Healing. It's $30.
Okay, what did you say? You would choose metabolic support?
Metabolic Healing. I think it's like $30-$35.
Okay, that's not bad.
I think that's going to give you the best, the easiest. The Genetic Genie, that they're free, or you can just do a $5 donation or something for those. Yeah, I haven't found any one that's great, like that has everything, but I think the Metabolic Healing is the closest in my opinion. And it's pretty straightforward to understand, because they group them by your body, body area. So they'll have brain, they'll have gut, they'll have phospholipids, they'll have cardiovascular, they'll have, I can't remember all the others, but they have a lot of them there. And so it's grouped, and you can see even just visually, because it's the red, yellow, green, and you look at a section, you go, whoa, my cardiovascular system's messed up. It's all red. Oh, my gut looks good. It's all green. You know, oh, this one's kind of in between. It's got a lot of yellow, right? So you can even visually get a sense of it. And then the reason I like the Genetic Genie ones is because they're really simple, straight one pagers. And I have on the site a PDF for each of them that has the interpretations to tell you what they mean.
Okay, because I looked at the site, but I watched the videos, but I don't remember those specifically. So I'll have to go back and look again.
It was on, I think, part two, because part one tells you this, the overview, and it tells you what tests to get, and then part two has these interpretation. I think it's part two. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
You know, the whole point of all the education we do is to try to empower you. I mean, I know, some people come back multiple years. Some people just do the 1 year. But my goal at the end of the year is not just to do for you or interpret for you, is to like teach you how to keep going. And sometimes it takes a while to learn that stuff. I mean, it's complicated, but it's hard because the doctors out there don't know this stuff, and they're not helping you to functionally look at your body. They're just looking for disease. And if you don't have disease, you kind of fall through the cracks, even if you don't feel well, but you don't have disease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I want to empower you to move forward and use your master tracker for the rest of your life. Just keep putting your stuff in. Like Laura's got 27 different lab reports in there. You just keep doing it for the rest of your life and you kind of see, because it's empowering to have that and to know, look, my liver's stressed right now. What just happened over the last few months? Oh yeah, I was in that chemtrails thing over there. Or my house is moldy. Or wow, my liver's really struggling with this. What do I have to do to support it? Right? And in the second year program, we have an extra 7 modules that you get access to, which go into more depth. You know, here in the first year, we're covering the core stuff. We're covering the adrenals and the thyroid and the digestion and the blood sugar and the genes. And then in the group of modules we have in the next year, we have the cardiovascular, the reproductive, the detoxification, the immune system, the brain, and there's 2 others, musculoskeletal and energetics. So there's 7 new modules. And what we're going to do differently this coming year that we haven't done in the past is we're actually going to schedule 7 different calls, and we'll spread them out. Maybe they won't be 7 months in a row, but we're going to schedule a time where, okay, this is brain. We're going to have a brain call just for the returning folks. We're going to have a brain call. We're going to talk about what's in the module, and then we're going to talk about how to implement it and give you some action steps. So you actually do it, you know, with us and with guidance as opposed to self-study. Cause we've experimented both ways, and I think it works better when there's more guidance specifically on specific content. Otherwise, sometimes it's easy to get lost in, there's a lot of stuff out there. So it's easy to get lost. So we're going to guide you through all that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want you to master who your body, and you be the one that knows a lot, and you use doctors to consult with when there's a real problem. Right. So that's what the goal of this is.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, Ellen. Anybody else? Okay, Laura. Okay, this is it. This is your last call. It's almost 10 o'clock. Oh, God. It's almost 11 on the East Coast. Hopefully the East Coasters dropped out to go to bed. No, Sarah's still there.
Let's see. I'm hearing myself.
Sarah, you can't get enough of me. We started our day together at 9 o'clock this morning, and here you are back with me until 10 o'clock. Okay. Okay, question?
Hello?
Yes, now I can.
Oh. Okay, sorry. regarding the tea, the bone tea that has iron, do you feel that it has an effect on me? Like, should I stop it? Because I'm taking it for my osteopenia.
Yeah, I would be looking at, like, can you do an analysis to see, like, how much iron is in it? Because I mean, I've never seen any, it's possible, certainly, because it's good iron, it's absorbable, all that. But I've never seen anybody's iron shoot up quite that much with just that. It would be cool if people could affect the iron that dramatically with just that tea. So I don't know what the exact, is it just the nettles, horsetail, alfalfa that you're using?
Yeah, just for the tea. And then I am eating nuts and seeds, which also have iron.
I would look up, like, if I go to nettles, nutrition. I don't know if it's in chronometers.
I know nettles have a high iron content.
They do. And, okay, let's see.
And nettle, alfalfa, and horsetail do have.
They all have iron in them for sure. Nettle root for iron deficiency. Nettle tea, the health benefits of stinging nettle. High levels of iron. Yeah, it might be too much for you. Let's see. How much are you taking each day?
Well, it's just a teaspoon of each three herbs and I grind the horsetail and I just use a half a teaspoon for that. And I don't do it every day. I may not take it for 3 days.
With the horsetail, give it a break. I'd be careful of the horsetail raw. Because the horsetail, you probably want to make an infusion because there's been a thiamine.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Thiamine inhibitor in there. And just a tea. Where does it say?
Thank you for reminding me.
So I found something that said, see, nettle contains 1.6 milligrams of iron per 100 grams. So it says put 100 grams in perspective. Yeah.
100 grams is 3.5 ounces, so that's a lot. So that's not a lot of iron per, not if you're doing just a teaspoon. A teaspoon is more likely to be 25 grams is my guess. So that would put it down to like 0.5 milligrams, which is just not a lot. And then even if they all have the same amount, you're still maybe only getting like 3 milligrams or less a day. So I would be looking at, you moved, right? You're in a different location. I'd be looking at water contamination. What was it that, are you using any cast iron cookware? Because remember Michelle had been, she and her husband both had, and they were looking, they were testing their water. It turned out she was using a cast iron pot and that was getting the iron in there. And the water, that's the other thing they were going to investigate, was testing the water to see if there were high levels of iron in the water.
Yeah, I didn't test the water. But at the beginning of my stay, I was using a cast iron pan, but I haven't used it for a while.
Well, you know, you might have built up a level from that. It may take a while to dissipate. So, not doing that anymore, but I would look into testing the water. And this was done, this was a recent test. It was just like a week ago, right? So, And you'd been traveling. What other sources of iron? I think you're sensitive to it, though, because you went high on taking a normal amount that most people would take and not really have been that high. So it's probably
for many months, I didn't sleep with that pad on my eyes. So I would wake up early because of the light.
Here's what I would do. I would continue to take that tincture. I don't think that's going to have a big effect. I would work on the melatonin piece, maybe even get a little drops of melatonin and take them for a little bit and just see if that has an effect. See if it has an effect, right?
Melatonin, I remember I took melatonin is what you're supposed to take so that you can sleep better. Mm-hmm. I took it when I went to Belgium a few years ago, and I would wake up with heart palpitation every time I took it.
So you were taking a capsule, so you can't control the dose. This is another reason I like liquid stuff, because then you can control the dose. You can start with a drop of it. You can start with 2 drops. If you start to get nightmares or that, because not too much melatonin can cause people to have nightmares or wake up with a start during the night. So I would look at that.
Is she taking B12 and B6?
Well, she'd
I'm taking B6. I'm taking B6 daily and not B12.
Because I've heard that people who take B vitamins and I put this in the chat where the quercetin foods, that's something you want to take. Because that will reduce the uptake of iron.
Yes, definitely one of the overloads, one of the causes of overload would be too low on the B. So I would get back on your B12 for sure.
Yeah. I'll connect with the two ladies.
Say it again.
I was saying I'll connect with the two ladies, but in Canada, but that was more about the zinc. up, I'll probably can have it mailed from you with the B12.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that Seeking Health will
deliver. Yeah, they mail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't get DHEA into Canada, but. Okay. All right. We're all a work in progress, right? And you try things and things shift. And that's why I'm a big fan of keeping things going on a regular basis. Like I haven't talked to you in months and I know you've been traveling to just keep things going, right? And like, okay, what happened? I did this and this is what happened. Okay, let's shift that. Because it's always a work. We're trying to customize for each individual. We're not looking at this for that. Iron for this and B12 for that. And it's more like, what does my body need? And how do I kind of jump in and navigate the waters? Makes sense?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm good. Thank you. Night.
Thank you all for being here. Paula, you stayed on to the end and you didn't even end. Sarah, too. I've talked to both of you today, so you got some good guidance there. And I'd say just let's keep on going. And again, if you do want to get in for the next year, go ahead and just, we gave you links on there and get in. So far, we had one seat taken of the five that were available for those extra bonus sessions. And Laura, reach out to Lynn, and Sarah and I already talked. Those of you who have already been in for 3 years and want to continue with us, it'd be great. We have something special for you. So, all right.
Thank you.
Good night. I'm going to unmute.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for sticking in here. I really appreciate your dedication to your own health. Right. That's a real big thing. I mean, there's so much here and there's so much to learn. And you are just like jumping in and you're just embracing your health as your most important asset. And it means a lot to me because the world has to change, right? The world has to change.
Yeah.
And we're part of it. Like every one of you are part of it because everybody that demands something different, anytime you go to your doctor and say, but I want this test done or I think this and what about that? It's bringing that focus to their attention. And the more that we create this buzz, this is why I want to create this buzz of people that are going, we want more, we want different, we want more. And then they have to change. Right? They can't just keep doing the same old, same old. They're controlled by drug companies who are strictly going for profit motive. And that's it. We want different. We want more. We want to take control. And the food principles, here's the thing. When we teach the food principles, when you find something that works for you, let's just stick with it, right? And you're going to adapt to the seasons and all, but to like, oh, well, I've been doing this for a long time. I think I'm stable. And then to go and backtrot or try something different, it makes it difficult to really know what's working. And so let's just keep moving forward. I mean, you know, we're human, so there's a step backwards, but let's just keep trying moving forward. Perfect, like real food, whole, healthy, real food is our best asset here, right? Like, let me experiment a little with the gluten-free bakery. Yeah, that's not real food. It really isn't, right? But we have this like, oh, but let me try it, right? Let me reward myself or let me be normal. And we're the ones that are normal. Those who eat unnormal food are the ones that are not normal, even though it looks differently when you're out in the world. What we're doing here is the norm. It's what nature intended. Yeah, we're given a little help with supplements and things like that, but as much as possible, food and herbs and lifestyle and thoughts and attitude. And let's just keep moving in that direction. And we're going to move the whole world in that direction. And then there'll be less fighting. There'll be less abuse. There'll be less of all the things that people do when they're feeling threatened and they're feeling not good about themselves and they're hurting is lash out at other people, right? I'm sure we've all done that at any point in time, is lashed out at somebody you love and then go, damn, I wish I didn't do that, right? But I did it because I was in pain. And if we can help to make this world a healthier place, it's going to be a happier place. We're not going to see that kind of violence and mistreatment and all the garbage that goes on. So thank you for allowing me to get on my high, my, what do you call that? My platform or
soapbox.
My soapbox. Thank you, Paula. My soapbox, but it's got to change. I get so distraught when I read these things about the abuse that, like, these poor little kids, and they're fed like this just boxed garbage stuff. We got to change it. The doctors have to be educated to tell people, don't feed your kids that. Instead of, oh, you're feeding your kids that. Here's some Ritalin. Here's some asthma medication. Here's some, you know, and all of us went through that as kids, right? And, I had my tonsils out when I was 4. I was on antibiotics for years before that because of my tonsils being swollen, because I was sick, because I was on dairy and gluten, which I, you know, found out later, and sugar. Found out later I was sensitive. So abuse with diet, and then put them on drugs, which abuse them more. And we all end up as adults having to solve those problems. So be patient with yourself. Just be patient with yourself. And you're all moving on the right direction. There's all improvements. And sometimes you slip back and you go, huh, maybe that didn't work again. Let me go back up. So thank you, guys.
And thank you so much for your commitment to, you know, this whole thing, because our system is disincentivized for prevention.
It totally is.
And not only do you support all of us, you're committing to training other practitioners that can work this way as well. So I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. It's my calling and it's my pleasure, and I get joy from it. So, and I love to see people moving in the direction. Yeah, it hurts when you're not moving in the direction as fast as you wanted to, but think of the decades that went into creating where you are right now. And it's, you know, and the genes and the, you know, and the stress of the world. And, you know, everywhere you turn, there's this fear mongering, you know, let's get you fearful about, what can we get you fearful about today? Right. And, you know, it's just crazy. So thank you. Thank you for being here for me to be able to do this. I appreciate it. Good night, everybody. Can I unmute you all so we can all hear each other? Bye. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Much love.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Sorry.